hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 46 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Albertsons. Today is the holiday dedicated to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who would have turned 75 last week. The annual parade from City Park to Civic Center Park got underway about 9 this morning. Thousands of people are in attendance right now at Civic Center Park. Government offices and banks are closed, as are schools. Some businesses also have the day off. RTD buses and light rail trains are running on their regular schedule. Parking meters downtown are free. This is no holiday, though, for Littleton police as they continue to investigate the weekend murder of a woman at a gift store. Officers say 46-year-old Rhonda Holland was stabbed to death Saturday while at the Season's Giving gift shop at 5757 South Rapp, just off Santa Fe. Sergeant Sean Dugan says Holland's car was spotted at a nearby motel, and police continue to call a person picked up at the motel a person of interest.
We're busy processing a number of areas, including the unit that he was contacted in at the motel, as well as the vehicle that we recovered at the motel.
Dugan says investigators will continue to check out Holland's car for prints today. In the meantime, if you have information that could aid the investigation, you're asked to contact the detective working the case. That's Russ Hoffman. His number is 303-795-3896. I-25 is closing again tonight, as we hear from T-Rex spokeswoman Karen Morales.
Tonight, starting at 9 p.m., we will again have a full closure of I-25 at Hampton Avenue. Northbound motorists will be taken off the off-ramp and right back down the on-ramp. Southbound motorists will be detoured at Santa Fe and take the usual detour from Santa Fe to Hampton and back onto southbound I-25.
The work actually began last night as the first part of a three-night project. T-Rex crews last week were able to complete a three-night project in two nights, and Morales says based on last night's progress, that may be the case again this week. Whether I-25 is closed or not, watch out for major lane shifts when you reach the Hampton Avenue Bridge. The reservoirs owned by Denver Water are still at a lower-than-normal level. At this point, their levels are about equal to that of 2 years ago, when the Colorado drought was at its worst in about a century. Experts do say, however, that the bulk of Colorado's snowfall is still to come, so it's too early to panic. Levels are around 50% of average in the South Platte River Basin, and the Colorado River Basin reads at 80% of average. Most of the other basins are at 90% of average or better. Democratic presidential hopefuls are making 11th-hour pitches in Iowa. John Engel reports that the speeches could be make or break for some of the candidates as caucuses get underway this evening.
That's because the latest Reuters MSNBC Zogby three-day poll shows there's not much room separating four of the candidates. John Kerry is slightly ahead with 25% of the vote. However, both Howard Dean and John Edwards have enough support to put them within the poll's margin of error, while Richard Gephardt has 18%. The poll has a plus or minus margin of error of 4.5 percentage points. John Engel, Omaha.
Meanwhile, President Bush is preparing for the annual State of the Union address when he hits the airwaves tomorrow evening. Bush is expected to highlight recent progress in the nation's economy, the global war on terrorism, and continued efforts in Iraq. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan met with U.S. and Iraqi Governing Council members today on the future of Iraq. Annan said the meeting is an important opportunity for everyone involved, but he stopped short of promising to send a UN delegation to Iraq.
We covered wide spectrum of issues, including the transitional political process, humanitarian relief, security, and the recovery and reconstruction of Iraq.
Annan says the meeting was an assessment of how the sovereignty process in Iraq was evolving and what the country needed from the UN, whether it was political, security, humanitarian, or rebuilding efforts. There's an investigation underway at Boston's very security-conscious Logan Airport. Jokes and false messages in a Donald Duck voice were broadcast over the public address system at Terminal E on Saturday night for more than an hour. Officials say the unseen pranksters made mock flight announcements along with strange sound effects. Officials are trying to find out who staged the incident and how they got into that public address system. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche are on the road to Florida tonight to play the Tampa Bay Lightning. Avs lost to the San Jose Sharks on Saturday. No game for the Denver Nuggets tonight as they get ready to head to Utah to play the Jazz tomorrow night. Nuggets beat the Miami Heat 88-80 last night at the Pepsi Center. Monday is Cheap Chicken Day at Albertsons. 8 mouth-watering pieces of fresh fried chicken, only $3.99. Cheap Chicken Day Mondays at Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Warm up your winter with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter, told in the key of blues. The new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. Cooking at the Cookery played to record-breaking crowds throughout the country, including Phoenix, New York, and Chicago. Critics agree the show is red-hot, astonishing, electrifying, delicious entertainment. Cooking at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Caffey. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, said Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Tickets just $40, Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m., weekend matinees at 3 p.m., Sunday at 7 p.m. Special $30 price on Wednesdays. On sale at Ticket West Outlets, King Supers, by calling 866-464-2626 or at www.denvercivic.com.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Biggest traffic problem this afternoon is indeed the parade and the rally in downtown Denver at Civic Center Park. Most of the participants are in the park right now, but there will be an awful lot of pedestrian traffic and vehicular traffic around Civic Center Park for the next several hours while the rally proceeds. Everything else around town much lighter than usual because of the holiday. Remember, parking meters are free downtown today. This report is a service of Metabolife Ultra. Did you make a New Year's resolution to lose weight? Keep the promise you made with the help of Metabolife Ultra. It's guaranteed to work or your money back. Metabolife Ultra. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. You may want to take it a little easy to get where you're going early this morning because we have some patchy early morning fog, obviously limiting visibilities, but then turning partly cloudy. Temperatures right at about average, high of 44. Tonight, cloudy, isolated snow showers overnight down to 20. And for tomorrow, snow showers as well under cloudy skies, high of 35, 39 for Wednesday. Isolated early morning snow showers and partly cloudy skies. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 46 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Martin Luther King Jr. edition of Enid Live. I am yours only until 2 o'clock today. And Doug Kellett has graciously said that he would step in to do my last hour because I'm headed to Venice. I'm going to Italy for a week, and I can't wait. There are seven of us going. It is the most wildly eccentric crew of people you can ever possibly imagine, and I think we're going to have a great time. We're scattered all over the airplane, and I need to get out to the DIA very quickly. So Doug Kellett will be with you starting at 2 o'clock and until 6 o'clock today. A couple of things that I want to just fill you in on and bring you up to speed on. Greg Dobbs, as you know, has not been well. He had emergency abdominal surgery a couple of weeks ago and is still recuperating. So our thoughts are with Greg, but I think things are moving along in a really good direction. But that's the reason that Reggie and others have been filling in for Greg Dobbs. He had emergency abdominal surgery a couple of weeks ago, and he's on the mend. So though for those of you who have been asking and have been sending your good wishes, all of our good wishes go out to Greg. Over the weekend, I was on Fox News. Did anybody see it? The show was called Heartland. The most remarkable thing happened, I have to tell you. I thought that the person I was up against, Mike Gallagher, I really thought he was going to try to pull out my giblets by the roots and really let me, and then swing them in my head and give me body blows, but that wasn't the part. Actually, it worked out fine, and I think it was a fairly lively discussion. I have gotten tons of emails from viewers around the country who saw it. In fact, an old friend who I haven't even seen or heard from in about a zillion years, and a lot of people, a lot of the Fox viewers are so vicious and nasty. I'll tell you one of the things that was said. Well, anybody who saw it, let me hear from you. I'd like your take. I've gotten a lot of positive comment, and I've also gotten a ton of negative comment. 303-382-1150. Robert calling from Castle Rock. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Robert.
You were great.
I was?
You handled that right-wing knucklehead well.
Can you believe that he called John Kerry unpatriotic? I mean, here's a genuine decorated war hero. And President Bush is AWOL. Can you believe that he would diss Kerry that way?
Well, you know, that's so typical of them. But let me just bring out one thing. Before you went on, there was a guy and his wife from Iowa.
Yeah.
The wife was a Republican at one time, just like myself, and now she's a Democrat, just like myself, and things are changing. People are sick of hearing that garbage. People are catching on.
Well, I'm not so sure. I have to share some of the emails that I got because they are not simply bad. They're really vicious. And none of them attack me for the substance of what I say, but they attack me for things like I'm too ugly to be on TV and that one guy's animals were cowering under the table because I'm so ugly. Let's see, what was it? What else? There were some that were obscene because of the things I said.
Enid.
Yeah.
Enid, you're beautiful.
Oh, thank
they're
you.
Just fighting back. We got them in the corner, and we're ready to stomp on them, and they don't know what else to do. So the only thing they could do is use negative words and try to turn people around. Actually, it is turning people around. It's turning people around on the other side.
Well, you know, someone was talking about the State of the Union address, and I misheard it, and it sounded like the Skate of the Union address, which is exactly what has been going on here. Nobody's held this guy's feet to the fire, and you're not hearing any kind of real comment about the administration.
And do you believe when they're going to have the State of the Union address?
Well, capitalize on the caucuses.
That's right. Do you believe this?
Of course I believe it. I don't put anything past them. Robert, thank you for watching. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. All right, here's what happened on Fox. As many of you know who are my regular listeners, I have characterized the debate this way, that Howard Dean reminds me of Harry Truman because he's blunt, he's feisty, he's plain-spoken, that George W. Dickey Bush is a little bit like Gary Cooper in High Noon. Yep, nope, bring him on. So it's a contest, or was a contest anyway. We'll see what happens in Iowa between Harry and Gary. And then there's John Kerry, who strikes me as Kennedy-esque. And then I was talking about Dick Gephardt, who sort of looks like the boy next door, and I said, in any way, we don't need another Dick in the White House. Well, don't ask. I should have clarified that. I meant Dick Cheney. But as you know, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, I have also been in favor of renaming W. Dick, because I think it's a more apt description, and then I'm able to say that we have two Dicks in the White House. So 303-382-1150. I'm going to some of these emails. Some of them I really cannot even read to you on the air, because some of them are very positive, but some of them are more vicious than you could ever imagine. And it tells me, let's see if this is one. Miss Goldstein, you were so out of line to call President Bush a dick in the White House on Fox last night. You have a right to disagree, but not to be rude. And then this person really went after me. And then others were mostly really vicious. And saw you on Fox the other night. Was rather surprised that you apparently haven't seen or heard of the major media's almost total adoration of Howard Dean in his role as current media darling. Well, that's not exactly true. There's a report that's just been published that goes on to say that the major media have beat up on Howard Dean a whole lot more than they have beat up on the president or any of Howard Dean's competitors. So Howard Dean has really gotten the brunt of the negative, all the negativity seems to go to Howard Dean. He's not only getting it from the Republicans, but he's getting it from his Democratic competitors. So he is really caught in the crunch, and you can tell he's got to be really crunched, because who joins the campaign in the last few days of it? His wife, Judy, who's also an MD, and she has really had her own life, and she laughingly thinks she's going to be able to practice medicine if he's elected, which I don't know if he's going to get elected. The other thing is, why are we making such a big deal out of the Iowa caucuses? First of all, it's one state only. Secondly, only a very small percentage of the people in that state, I've heard like a quarter, maybe maybe even a third, but I think about only 25% participate in these caucuses. Why is this such a big deal? Why are we so interested in having a horse race, in having a contest? Everything with Americans is a contest. 303-382-1150. It's a distraction from what the White House and the administration are doing, and I have more information on that. Kevin, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, I see your thoughts with what you said. It's true. If you call,
you've got to, you know what? You're going to have to call us back. Are you? If you're on a cell, you're breaking
up. I'm sorry. Am I breaking up?
Oh, wait. No, now you're all right.
Am I here?
Yeah. Okay. Now you are. Okay. Give
well,
it to
I didn't see your appearance on Fox, but I say if you called George W. a dick, then I think that's great. I just, sorry I missed it. I'm proud of you all over again, even though I sometimes disagree. But on the Howard Dean thing?
Yes.
I think that it's kind of funny that there seems to be a concerted effort among the conservative media. As we know, the media tends to have a conservative bias because of the ownership, even though the reporters tend to be educated liberals. I think that there's been an all-out war against him, trying to discredit him even before he's achieved the nomination. I mean, they're trying, and then
they did it to Al Gore, and they did it very successfully. Why are they doing it?
I don't know, but the funny thing is, if you notice, all these Republicans will say, oh, we think Howard Dean, we think it would be great if he would win because he has no chance against Bush. But at the same time, the Bush-Cheney campaign is putting out commercials trying to discredit Dean before the primaries have even happened. And it's just the typical lack of honesty and integrity in the Republicans and the conservative movement.
Well, but also they are being aided and abetted. It isn't, you expect it from the Republicans because this is a competition between the two parties. But to be aided and abetted by the media? I mean,
well, that's my point is the media is, see, I'm one of these people who has come to believe that the media has a conservative bias because of the high concentration of corporate ownership. I don't believe that, you know,
I don't know if they have if they've come to have a conservative bias in the traditional sense. Maybe it comes down this way. Maybe you're right because of the concentration of media ownership. Maybe it's along the lines of a more subtle thing, like, you know what? We want you to be a team player.
Right,
and they believe, the owners believe that George W. Bush feels about the FCC that there should be as little regulation as possible, so that is only good for their bottom lines, and they would like to have George W. Bush in. The other part of that equation, there's another subtlety here, and that is if you are a tough reporter and you're working for one of the main media outlets and you ask the uncomfortable question, guess what? Or you do the unflattering story, guess what? You're going to get shut out. You're not going to be able to do your job. You will be transferred. It's that simple.
Right. Let me give you an example of this. And we were down when Cheney was in town last week. There was maybe 20 of us protesting his appearance, and we had some signs, and we made a little noise, and we tried to get some attention of the media. And there was a reporter from the Fox Network that I recognized from TV, and they didn't give us much time, and they didn't talk to any of us, but he came by, and he tapped my Howard Dean button, and he said, "That's my man," and he said it real quietly. And he said, "You know, I got to toe the company line, but that's my man." And I think that's just an example of, here's a guy who, to protect his professional career, he's not going to come out as an outspoken supporter of Howard Dean, but yet he's telling me in private that he supports him.
Can I say something? I'm of two minds here, because in some ways that guy's a whore. For, you know, he'll do whatever it takes to keep his job and to whore out his himself. And here he is privately in favor of Dean, but publicly he's going to do everything he can to sink him because that's what the job demands. And when you think fair and balanced, think again, Kevin. I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. I mean, if you are doing one thing directly against your belief system, what other word is there to describe you? 303-382-1150. Okay, here's what the Washington Post has to say. A reader emailed the Washington Post Company chairman, Donald Graham, who is the son of Catherine Graham, who recently died, asking why the Washington Post had no coverage of former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill's explosive charge on CBS's 60 Minutes that the administration was out to take over Iraq from the day it entered office. A lot of people will conclude that the editorial policy is influencing the news coverage, but it looks bad for the Washington Post. In other words, why did the Washington Post, a major newspaper, the one that everybody in the belt inside the Beltway looks at. How come they had no coverage of Paul O'Neill's explosive charge on 60 Minutes that the administration was out to take over Iraq from the day it entered office? The Washington Post did have a brief article about some of the previously released interview the day before on page A13, but there was heavy mail all last week from readers who questioned the paper's news judgment on several stories, including others who wondered whether the paper's editorial page stance in support of the president's decision to invade Iraq had infected the news sections. So here you have the Washington Post, and they hardly talked about Paul O'Neill and those explosive charges he made on 60 Minutes. They buried it on page 13. And in the Post and in the Rocky, I don't think there was anything the next day. There might have been something the day after that, but not directly the next day. This should have been page one, I think. And it should instill an investigation or an inquiry. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Most people come from one school of thought. Welcome to the beauty of both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
Do you know the story? It's about a war, the very worst kind. It ripped apart our country, set American against American, North against South, free against slave. Now John Brown's Body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, brings to life the story of the Civil War. You meet Lincoln and Davis. You hear from Southern belles and Northern ladies. You sit across from slave traders as well as freedom fighters. You see the world through the eyes of a Yankee soldier and his Confederate counterpart. John Brown's Body transports you to the most troubled chapter in our country's history and gives voice to the human experience behind the facts and dates. John Brown's Body plays January 29th through February 28th at the Denver Center Theater Company. Do you know the story? The whole story?
Visit denvercenter.org or call 303-893-4100 today for your tickets.
PlayingPolitics2004.com has fired a missile across the bow of American politics and has created the perfect antidote for the person who has grown weary of listening to empty drivel from the likes of Ann Coulter and Al Franken. These two 54-card decks have been rejected by the New York Times, because they picked on them, but described as awesome by U.S. News and World Report. These cards at last represent a view from the center, which means they don't like the stance that either the far left or the far right takes. Better than any board game and perfect for the student, professional, or homemaker. PlayingPolitics2004.com is sure to bring clarity and laughter to your political decision-making process this year. These decks are moving faster than Bill Clinton's hands and George Bush's policy statements. Playing Politics 2004 can be purchased through select Borders bookstores or through www.PlayingPolitics2004.com.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1223 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, the pre-Venice edition of Enid Live. I want to thank Doug Kelly. He's going to come in an hour early, so you're going to get Doug from 2 to 6 tonight. And so that I can dash off to the airport, you're going to be in really good hands while I'm gone tomorrow. T.R. Reed, Tom Reed, who is the Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief for the Washington Post. He has been the London Bureau Chief and the Tokyo Bureau Chief. Is going to be sitting in, and we thank him. Also, the Style Twins, Judy and Evelinda, Judy Schwartz and Evelinda Ehrman, are going to be doing talk, not simply style. I don't think they're going to be doing style at all. They're going to be doing talk radio, general talk, news talk, what we call news talk. And our old friend Jerome Davis is also going to be in for me. So that's, and I will be back next Tuesday. I come back next Monday night, but I'll be back in the saddle next Tuesday, just to let you know. So That's going on. And for those of you who keep emailing and asking, Greg Dobbs underwent emergency abdominal surgery a couple of weeks ago. He's on the mend, we are wishing him all the best. And it looks like things are moving in the right direction. We're talking about my appearance on Fox News. We're talking about if you saw it and you want to comment, positive, negative, however you want to comment, I'm more than happy to have you do it. 303-382-1150. I got a ton of emails from viewers around the country. And since Fox plays to a very conservative base, some of these emails were absolutely vicious, really nasty, and not at all addressing the substance of what I had to say, which is very interesting because what I have said here many times is that a lot of people call themselves conservative are really just nasty, bitter, angry, nursing among the terminally aggrieved. And boy, if you say something different from what they get on the party line, and then and Fox really panders to these people, they are as nasty as you can imagine. 303-322-1150. Don, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I saw you on TV, and the other person made a comment about none of the Democratic candidates had any vision, and you let that one go by.
You have to kind of do a little bit of a drill where you let them, they speak, you speak, they speak. Sometimes you jump in. But it's a very odd setup. You can't, Don, it's hard to address every single thing. If I had addressed every single thing that Mike Gallagher said, I mean, there wouldn't have been a he say, she say. Are you there?
Yeah. What's wrong with that? I don't.
You got to pick and choose. But so you're telling me I should have jumped in when they said Democrats had no vision?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one, for God's sakes, he's the one who said that John Kerry was unpatriotic.
Oh,
I said,
right,
what
yeah.
I said, are you kidding? This is a guy who was decorated, a genuine war hero, and Bush was AWOL.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to say about it?
Yes.
What?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Don. 303-382-1150. It's a very odd setup. What you do is you go, in this case, you go to... a soundstage. This is the facility they use. They have to go to some trouble here. They have to book a satellite time. They get you a car and they send a car and driver so that you show up. They get you. They have a makeup person. The soundstage where we do it is actually pretty nice. It's where they used to shoot Perry Mason, and all of that was shot in Denver. And the Father Dowling Mysteries, which I did not know. Both. So Denver has got a big soundstage facility here. I have been in some situations when I did MSNBC. I did it over at Channel 9. They put you in this really cavernous studio. You're sitting there. There's a camera, and it's a robotic camera. It's not even manned by a human being. There's nobody manning it. You're sitting there in a dark and cavernous studio with an IFB in your ear, which is an earpiece, so that you can hear New York just barely. And they say, can you hear us? And you say, yes. And then suddenly you start to hear the show. You can't see a thing. And you're sitting in this dark and cavernous place in front of a robotic camera, and you have to start speaking like you're having an active conversation. It is a very weird setup. Well, this one on Saturday was much better because it's at this facility where Perry Mason was shot, and there are actual human beings there, and it's a very nice facility. I really like going over there. But it is very peculiar because you're sitting there with an earpiece. And I was sitting next to Gerilyn Merritt, and she was in talking. She's a criminal defense attorney, Denver, and talking about Michael Jackson. So on the segment when they were on her Michael Jackson, I mean, I was sitting right next to her because you've got a microphone on and yet, and you're all suited up, you're all wired up, and so they don't want you moving around. So I just sat there, and the camera never showed you that I was sitting next to her. And also, when they came back to me, the camera never showed that she was sitting next to me. It was this television thing is very weird, but it was also very fun, too. Steve, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How are you doing today, Enid?
I'm doing well, Steve.
I thought you did fine Saturday night, and I actually, for the second time, you and I would agree on a point. I agreed wholeheartedly with you when it came to the discussion at the end of the show regarding this prison inmate, and I agree with you. I mean, I don't see why they should be entitled to email.
You want to tell people what it was, the outrage of the week?
Well, yeah, I believe it was that this guy's pen pal, is the one that's actually going to publish emails that he got from this guy, where this guy said that he enjoyed murdering his victim.
Here's the story. A guy is on death row. He's on death row because he murdered a girl. He has now sort of taunting the girl's mother by having friends put up web postings, put up stuff on the net where he talks about all the grisly details and how he committed the murder. And I think he mentions the victim's mother by name. And in a way, he's, you know, here she is trying to get over her grief. Now, this the murder happened about 10 years ago, but they're talking about what can be done. And I said, look, if you're a felon, if you're on death row, you don't get to vote. You have broken society's rules. You don't get a First Amendment either. You don't get to use the Internet. Most likely, Steve, most likely he does not have Internet privileges. But what has happened is a friend who is not in the clink has access or has had access to his writings and has put them up on the web.
Right.
Then what do you do?
Well, and in that case, I don't, I mean, under the current laws, I don't think there's anything that you really can do.
If it's a threat. If it threatens the mother, then there is something you can do.
Yeah, but even then, Enid, I believe the guy's on death row, correct?
Yeah, like what are they going to do, put him on death row a couple more times?
Exactly. You really can't. On the other issue, you know, you and I disagree 99% of the time. Anybody that sent you emails that, you know, attacked you personally, that's inappropriate.
Most of them did. They mostly attacked me personally.
Well, I will tell you this. As you know, I've told you before, I listen to a lot of the conservative talk show hosts. And you know what? I think, unfortunately for you guys, it's just kind of the nature of the business. I've heard all of them, including Gallagher, who's on here in Denver in the mornings, who have said, you know, if you give out email addresses or if people can get in contact with you, they get a lot of it. You know, I can only imagine what...
I'm surprised they were able to find me because I really, I don't, like, was there a crawl or something that identified me, what radio station?
Yeah, there was.
And name and crawl under the...
Yep. And I'll be honest with you, I have... I frequent quite a few politics boards, and some of the lefties that I talk to, I point them to you all the time. I point them to your radio station because, you know, there's always a complaint that there's no liberal talk radio, and I tell them, hey, from noon to 3 every day, Mountain Standard Time, here you go. Here's your liberal talk radio.
Oh, well, Steve, I really thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I will tell you this. Uh-huh. I know your picture on the website. It looks like your hair is a little bit longer than it is now. And uh-huh. I do like that better.
I do
like you better with your hair a little bit longer.
Okay. I'll take that under advisement. Here's the real story. I got it cut in San Francisco from the person who's been cutting my hair for 5 zillion years, and it seems to be the only person who knows how to do it in the way that I'm used to. And so when I see her, she cuts it real short, and then it'll grow. You know what the difference is between a good haircut and a bad haircut?
I'm a guy, so no.
two weeks. So it'll grow in, but thank you. I appreciate the fashion tip. Thank you, Steve.
Not a problem. And like I said, I thought you did good on Saturday night. Of course, for the most part, I didn't agree with your message, but I thought you did fine.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. I think they're probably never going to invite me back is the story here, because I think they got, if I got a ton of emails, they got even more. All right. As I said, Geraldine Merritt was talking about, she's a criminal defense attorney here in Denver. She's on Fox quite a lot. And she was talking about Michael Jackson. Well, can I tell you the latest on Michael Jackson and why he might walk? The last we heard, the last plot twist in Michael Jackson. Oh, and by the way, you want to hear the real story about Michael Jackson? The change of venue is going to happen. It's going to be in the Bay Area. And there are about three different jurisdictions, three different towns that want the trial because they think it'll bring in a ton of money. Like Alameda is one of them. I think Santa Clara is another one, and I forget what the third one is. But they all are vying. All their chambers of commerce are vying to get the Michael Jackson trial there because it brings in big bucks. Okay, the last we heard with Michael Jackson is that he's going to be toast, and the reason he's going to be toast is the kid who he made the deal with, the confidential settlement reportedly as high as $20 million about 10 years ago, is now an adult. There is a confidential, it is a sealed deal, so it's confidential. But the laws in California have been changed so that in a criminal case, this kid can be subpoenaed to testify, and he has to do it. Even though the laws were different when he settled with Michael Jackson, and they think that if this kid testifies, Michael Jackson goes to the pokey and he's toast. Well, there's another plot twist. He might walk. Michael Jackson might walk without ever going to trial and without ever having to defend himself. Why would that be? According to the tabs, the investigation has uncovered that the boy who's making the allegations, the cancer-stricken boy, is in desperate need of a kidney transplant, and because he's not in great health, and really needs that transplant. So you know what's going to happen. The prosecutors are going to speed him, the fastest kidney transplant known to mankind. But in any event, the kid is not in great shape. He needs a kidney transplant. And if he continues not to be in great shape, or if his health deteriorates further, then that's it. Then it's you're home free, Michael Jackson. Have another celebration with all your followers at Neverland. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. So it's a kind of interesting, an interesting development. The Borowitz Report. Jacko dangles lawyer from the balcony. Legal experts question latest strategy. The Michael Jackson case took another bizarre turn today as the self-styled king of pop dangled a member of his legal team from a hotel balcony in Beverly Hills. Thousands of Mr. Jackson's fans, who were waiting for a precious glimpse of their embattled idol, cheered as the singer appeared on the balcony carrying his lawyer, whose face appeared to be covered by a towel or blanket. But those cheers turned to gasps as Mr. Jackson mischievously dangled his lawyer from the 15th floor balcony before quickly withdrawing to the luxury suite. In the aftermath of the lawyer dangling incident, legal experts questioned the wisdom of Mr. Jackson's latest stunt, arguing the dangling one's lawyers from a hotel balcony might taint the jury pool for his upcoming trial. Jurors could interpret Michael Jackson dangling his lawyer as a sign of arrogance. It's as if he's saying, I'm so sure I'm going to win this case, I don't care if my lawyer plunges to his doom. Well, anyway, there it is. Michael Jack, the Borowitz Report, Jacko dangles lawyer from balcony. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday Martin Luther King Jr. edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by The Home Depot. Thousands of people have turned out in downtown Denver for the annual parade to honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but participants walked from City Park to Civic Center Park. Dr. King would have turned 75 last week. Littleton police continue their investigation of the murder of a woman at a gift shop near Santa Fe Drive and Littleton Boulevard. The woman's body was found in the basement of the store. Her car had been stolen but was found at a nearby motel. Police are questioning someone found at the motel whom they describe as a person of interest. A teenager who was driving a car involved in a fatal accident Saturday morning will be charged with vehicular homicide. The Colorado State Patrol says 19-year-old James Lindsay was driving about 70 miles an hour when he lost control of the car. 17-year-old Mikel Alves, a passenger in the car, was killed in that crash. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche are in Florida tonight to play the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Avs lost to the Sharks here in Denver on Saturday. Have your kitchen cabinets installed by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot at-home services. Call 1-800-79-DEPOT for a free in-home consultation. The Home Depot at-home services, installation you can trust. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:37.
I'm tired. I'm stressed. I want to be pampered, and I don't want to have to go to some expensive spa to do it.
That whining woman you just heard is Evelinda Ehrman, and I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live. In order to shut Evelinda up, I bought her a gift certificate to Salon Mercedes, a full service salon near the Denver Tech Center, I-25 and Orchard. The staff is so well-trained, experienced, and friendly, they'll even put up with her whining.
Thank you. Oh, goody, goody, goody. Look what I can choose from. A new haircut in color, waxes, microdermabrasion. I like this Take Yourself Away package that gives me a manicure, pedicure, massage, and facial.
You need it, honey. Your roots are showing and your nails are chipped.
Nice of you to notice.
Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 and Orchard. Open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7. Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. 303-741-0606. Treat yourself and everyone on your list to a Salon Mercedes gift certificate. 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
KNRC News Time is 12:38. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Just getting a report of an accident. Three cars involved northbound on I-25 at Colorado Boulevard. That area has been a mess for a long, long time because of the narrowing of the roadway for T-Rex and some other things. So be on the lookout for some extra activity there this lunch hour. Also getting a report of a car fire westbound I-70 at Quebec Street. And fire equipment should be on the scene there in just a few minutes. Also be on the lookout for some extra car and pedestrian traffic around Civic Center Park because of the Martin Luther King celebration. What's the number one diet pill in America? Zantac 3. Rapid weight loss, incredible energy, in one amazing super pill, Xantex 3, at stores nationwide or log on to Xantex3.com. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. You may want to take it a little easy to get where you're going early this morning because we have some patchy early morning fog, obviously limiting visibilities, but then turning partly cloudy. Temperatures right at about average, high of 44. Tonight, cloudy, isolated snow showers overnight down to 20. And for tomorrow, snow showers as well under cloudy skies, high of 35, 39 for Wednesday. Isolated early morning snow showers and partly cloudy skies. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 45 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
You got the Carlson file handy?
Yeah, it's over there on the credenza.
You mean the bookcase?
It's a credenza.
Okay, where I come from, that's a bookcase.
Dude, we grew up together.
So you claim.
Furniture, that's our thing. This week during our Office Max Business Savings event, save $50 on any furniture purchase of $350 or more. Buy one, get one free on Smead filing products and 3M Post-it notes, plus 10% off on all Office Max ink and toner. At Office Max, our thing is unbeatable savings. What's your thing?
Offer ends January 24th. See store for details.
Come on, one more scoop and you're done with the driveway.
Oh.
Now for the hard part, standing up straight, because your back is stuck at a 45-degree angle. But it won't be for long with a Thermacare heat wrap. Put Thermacare on your back, neck, or shoulder, get 8 hours of deep-down powerful heat. So tight muscles relax and you feel relief. Get Thermacare in the pain reliever aisle. Then head back outside, because the snowplow just left you a present.
KNRC Market Watch.
Harvard economists are studying scripture, such as this from 1 Timothy. If anyone does not provide for his family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
What we think matters is the basic character traits of people, like work ethic or honesty, openness. And we think that might be fostered especially by certain kinds of religious beliefs.
Robert Barrow is researching how belief in the afterlife can influence the economy in this life. His work, along with colleague Rachel McCleary, is revealing fear of eternal damnation is a bigger motivator for many than even the promise of eternal reward.
We find that certain beliefs seem to be positive, seem to foster more economic growth.
That might not come as a big surprise, but this might.
More participation in church activity seems to be a negative for economic results.
That's because of what Barrow calls the religion market, a motivating source but also a recipient of economic activity. Barrow points out the highest calling for the most devout is not man's business, but God's business. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1242 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, the Monday pre-Venice edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 2 o'clock today, so anything we've got to wrap up, today is the day we got to do it because I'm going to be gone for a week. I go to Venice. I have never been. Those of you who have been, if you want to tell me what it is, I've been trying to resurrect my language tapes and all my textbooks on Italian. And here's the story. I never really mastered Italian to begin with. So trying to resurrect it here and there, a couple of minutes here and there out of a busy schedule is sort of disastrous. But some of it is coming back. A little bit of it is coming back. And we're going to be with somebody who speaks it fluently. So that'll be good news. But in any event, I'll be gone for a week. Doug Kellett is going to come in. He's graciously said he would do that. And so I'm delighted that he is. And he will be doing my 2 to 3 hours. So you're going to get Doug from 2 to 6 today. And filling in for me starting tomorrow, Tom Reed, who is the bureau chief for the Rocky Mountain region for the Washington Post. The Style Twins, Judy Schwartz and Evelinda Ehrman, are going to be filling in for me. And Jerome Davis is going to be filling in. And I will be back a week from tomorrow. So it's just 1 week. It's a very quick trip. And I have to tell you, I got no sleep at all last night. And I really tried. Usually, this is my MO, and I'm not recommending this for anybody. I mean, I think I had to have my head examined to do Fox because you really are kind of on hold all day long thinking about what you're going to do and getting that all settled. And then 2 days before I'm scheduled to leave for Venice, and then that takes a whole lot of planning and everybody says it's cold and it's bone-chillingly damp cold, but the temperature, if you look on the web, has been in the 30s to 40s, but people say it's just extremely, you feel really, really cold because of being on the water. So then you have to pack all this stuff that keeps you warm, and yet Venice is said to be a very sophisticated place, so you don't want to look like an American tourist with your fanny pack and your fleece and your running shoes, so you have to figure out how to do this, and you want to underpack because undoubtedly Venice is like, must be like Santa Fe, I'm guessing, where they have magnets planted in all the canals, and the minute you get there, the magnets pull all the money out of your wallet, because there's so many seductive things that you're going to want to buy. So all of this is going through my head, and I'm thinking, you know, I want to be sure that I don't forget to take this, that, or the other, and a million little details that you have to remember. Remember what Frank Lloyd Wright said, the great architect? He said, God is in the details. So all these things that you, so I think, okay, I'm going to go to sleep and get up fresh, and I could never fall asleep because I was so wired. I had so many things to do. So if I'm even coherent, it's amazing today. Okay, Kobe Bryant has been dumped by McDonald's. He, one more endorsement, hit the skids. The fast food company said today that its three-year agreement with Kobe Bryant expired in December 31st, and is not being renewed. It would be inappropriate to comment or speculate at this time about any future sponsorship relationship. But also Ferrero of Italy, the maker of Nutella chocolate spread, earlier chose not to renew Kobe Bryant's endorsement contract. So he has lost a couple of very lucrative endorsements. And if you saw Jim Spencer's column in the Post, how Kobe's lawyers are taking the absolute lowest road, don't be surprised. They have to clear him because he makes so much money doing these endorsements that there's no way. For him to lose these endorsements is a big chunk out of his income, out of his compensation. And they're going to play the hardest of hardballs. That's all I can tell you. So just be aware of that. 303-382-1150. I got this from one of you last Friday, and I didn't have a chance to get to it, but let me share it with you. This is from Working Families. Tomorrow will be a critical day in the fight to stop President Bush's overtime pay takeaway and to prevent a pay cut for millions of America's workers. The U.S. Senate is scheduled to vote on unfinished business from last year, including a massive federal spending bill. A group of pro-worker senators is pledging to block that legislation with a filibuster because it does not bar Bush's overtime pay takeaway. Later that night, President Bush will deliver the annual State of the Union Address, State of the Union Address is what I'm calling it. If he's honest about wanting to help our economy, he'll withdraw his overtime pay takeaway. Please act immediately. Time is crucial. Send faxes to senators with a copy to President Bush. So email your senators and email President Bush. And what this thing does is a lot of people who used to be getting overtime pay are now not going to be getting overtime pay. Just some of the lower income people are going to be getting overtime pay. And the Department of Labor, that's supposed to be a watchdog on your behalf, the department is issuing a memo to employers telling them how to get around even these new laws that further curtail overtime pay. Aren't you outraged about that? 303-382-1115. As long as we're celebrating Martin Luther King's life today, I think it's very interesting that when George Bush went to place a wreath on the tomb last week, he was jeered and he was booed. This is one constituency that is not buying his shuck and jive. And allegedly, he's going to say a few things explaining those 16 words, the lies that he used to sell us the war in Iraq. Apparently, he's going to address that in this year's State of the Union. We had to wait a year. 303-382-1150. And CBS is not going, in addition to not allowing the MoveOn.org ad, the winner of which is a Denverite, Charlie Fisher. It's like, who's going to pay for the deficit? And it shows all these little kids dressed up as adults doing adult work. Here's a little kid garbage collector, and here's a little kid supermarket checker, etc. It's a great spot. If you go to MoveOn.org, you can probably see it there. CBS has rejected it for the Super Bowl. But that isn't the only ad it's rejected for the Super Bowl. There's another one. The CBS rejected last week, as we talked about it, an ad from MoveOn.org. The ad uses images of children working at adult jobs to criticize a federal budget deficit. Listen to this. The network also rejected an ad prepared by People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, that asserts that eating meat causes impotence. I think they should have let that one run. That eating meat is not good for your meat. 303-382-1150. What do you think? Is this executive at CBS, which is owned by Viacom, said that their policy originated in the 50s and prohibited the showing of ads that took stands on controversial public policy issues. I think, now one of you called in to tell me that they do run ads that recruit for the armed forces, the armed services, during Super Bowl Sunday, during the Super Bowl. Is that true? Because if they take ads for the armed forces, then they ought to take ads for all these other groups. A spokeswoman for PETA said that CBS's policy was inconsistent because she's seen ads condemning smoking and drunk driving on past Super Bowl telecasts. MoveOn.org said CBS, said an executive vice president at CBS, that CBS takes a stand on matters of the public debate where there are discernible sides, and we don't want those who have deep pockets to have an undue influence on the debate. Pick an issue, NAFTA, gun control, abortion. Anti-drug abuse or anti-smoking ads, on the other hand, he said, do not wade into such controversial waters. If you can find somebody responsible who is for drug abuse or someone responsible who is for teenagers seeking to smoke, then it would be a credible rebuttal of our policy, but I don't know anybody who does. Asked about last year's drug policy ads that linked drug sales to international terrorism, the vice president of CBS said, is it an absolutely perfect system? Absolutely not. On the other hand, the MoveOn.org ad wasn't even close. I didn't need to rewind that one in the VCR. So they agree. They are admitting that they will run ads that do broadcast a point of view, but when it comes to MoveOn.org, not even close. In your dreams, forget it. It's never going to happen. 303-382-1150. But you got to hand it to PETA. I love that. That eating meat will make you impotent. I mean, tell it to Bob Dole. I mean, at Goldstein, you're listening to the pre-Italy edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Call the host you don't agree with. Keep both sides alive and well on AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapahoe Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Napoleon.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Napoleon.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Looking for love in all the wrong places? Try the Max Fund Animal Adoption Center, located at 1025 Galapagos Street. The Max Fund is the only no-kill shelter in the Denver area for injured animals with no known owners. They have numerous loving cats and dogs available for adoption, and also offer low-cost spays and neuters. To find a friend or volunteer your time, call 303-595-4917 or go to www.maxfund.org.
Have your kitchen cabinets installed by licensed and insured professionals through the Home Depot At Home Services. Call 1-800-79-DEPOT for a free in-home consultation. The Home Depot At Home Services, installation you can trust.
John Brown's Body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, is adapted from Stephen Vincent Benet's Civil War epic. This Pulitzer Prize-winning drama features a cast of 20 actors playing 283 roles on both sides of the conflict, capturing the heroes, villains, cruelty, and courage of the bloodiest war in American history. And you can see this richly textured and masterful story for free just by listening to KNRC this Friday, January 23rd from noon to 3 p.m., when we'll be giving away tickets to John Brown's Body. Another great reason to listen to AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
1254 on the pre-Venice edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 2 o'clock today because I'm dashing out to the airport. And Doug Kellett will do the extra hour. It's really kind of him to do it, too, because it makes his show a four-hour show. He's on from 2 to 6 today. But I will be back in a week. Greg Dobbs, if you are, many of you have been asking about him. He underwent emergency abdominal surgery. He came to work and it just hit him, and he was rushed to the hospital. But he seems to be on the mend, and so our good thoughts are with him, and we're wishing him a speedy recovery. And as there's more to report, we will report it. We were talking about CBS News. Not taking a couple of ads and MoveOn.org ad. They have refused, and this is for Super Bowl game, and they've also refused PETA because PETA says, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA says that eating meat will make you impotent. And my producer, Joe Anderson, came in to tell me that he is a card-carrying member of PETA, People for the Eating of Tasty Animals. And I hadn't heard that one before. But anyway, I thought you would like to know. Howard Dean. Is he a media darling or is he a punching bag? He has been a favorite subject of everybody. An analysis of stories that have aired on NBC, ABC, and CBS in the past year or so show that 64 focused on Dean's campaign compared with about 31 that referred to John Kerry, 19 on Dick Gephardt, 17 on John Edwards, 16 on Wesley Clark, and 12 on Joe Lieberman. But only 49% of the stories about Dean were positive, compared with a collective 78% favorable coverage for the rest of the Democratic field. And so what you have got is something that happened, it's kind of the same effect, something that happened with Al Gore. Remember when there were charges made that he alleged to have said he invented the Internet? Turns out that all of this was a lie. But he was never able to clear his name on it. 303-321-1150. Nobody ever believed him. For some reason, the charges stuck. President Bush has made so many gaffes, and nobody calls attention to it. Let Howard Dean look at the universe cross-eyed, and suddenly he's made a gaffe. Tim Russert interviewed both George W. Bush and Howard Dean. He was way harder on Dean than he was on Bush. He was real. He threw Bush only softballs. So the coverage of Howard Dean has been negative, and he's getting it from all sides. He's not only getting dissed by the Republicans, he's getting dissed by his fellow Democrats who are looking to secure the nomination for themselves. So he's in such straits now in Iowa. And tell me, why is Iowa so important? Why were we talking about that on my appearance on Fox News? What's the big deal with Iowa? I think it's a diversion from what's really going on in this country, which is, do you want to hear something really outrageous? Can I tell you that here is Dick Cheney, the other Dick in the White House, and there's a case before the Supreme Court. Remember how Dick Cheney has kept the makeup of the committee that advised him on energy policies, how along with everything else in the White House, he's kept it very secret? It's a stealth administration. The data that you and I pay to have collected, we have no access to because a veil of secrecy has come down big time. Even tire information, remember Firestone tires and how they were exploding? All of that stuff, we have no access to it at all. All of it is made secret by these people. Dick Cheney, who has business in front of the Supreme Court, they're going to be deciding that big case about the privacy and the secrecy of the energy advisors that he had. He went hunting with Antonin Scalia. Now, is that an appearance of conflict or an actual conflict? 303-321-1150. Kathleen, calling from Aurora.
Yes.
Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Kathleen.
Listen, I've been listening to your program, and I think you do a wonderful job.
Thank you.
And as far as the subject of media coverage, I can certainly sympathize because as the candidate for Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder, And plus the other two candidates in the race, we can't get any coverage at all locally.
What's your party affiliation?
I am the Democratic candidate.
Who are you? And Kathleen, what's your last name?
My last name is Conway.
And who are you up against? Who's the Republican?
Well, we're being the Republican candidate is Nancy Doty, mm-hmm. and the Libertarian candidate is Travis Nix. We are trying to get any kind of press coverage that we can. This is on the recall of Tracy Baker as county clerk.
Oh, is he not? Have they not pulled his sad, sorry self out of that slot?
I'm afraid not.
Why?
Well, the recall election is set for February the 24th.
Oh, get him out of there.
And the candidates had to run around and get a sufficient number of signatures to get on the ballot. As the Democratic candidate, I was supposed to get twice as much as anybody else, 8,000 signatures.
All right, we're just about out of time, but I get
okay.
the drift. Send us some stuff, Kathleen, and we'll see
I would be happy to, but we would love to be able to tell you about the race.
All right, we're going to leave it. We got to leave it there. We're out of time in this hour. Thank you for the call. There you go. One more hour of Enid today, pre-Venice, right here on.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. Thousands of people have turned out for the annual parade in downtown Denver today. Bruce Morton has the details.
Organizers call it the nation's largest single celebration of Martin Luther King Day. An estimated 30,000 people lined Denver's streets for a commemorative march and parade. The activities culminated with a rally at City Center Park. One item not on the schedule was the heckling of Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper. The hecklers were protesting the death of a Denver teenager shot by a city police officer. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Littleton police are continuing their investigation into the weekend murder of a woman at a gift shop. Investigators say 46-year-old Rhonda Holland was stabbed to death on Saturday at the Seasons Giving gift shop near Santa Fe Drive and Littleton Boulevard. Her car was also stolen but was found at a nearby motel. During a search of the motel, police picked up someone they call a person of interest. However, Littleton Police Sergeant Sean Dugan says the investigation extends beyond the person of interest taken into custody.
There's some additional people that we're going to want to talk to at the motel area and then interview anyone that had any information on the vehicle being parked there.
If you have any information that could aid in that investigation, you're asked to call the Littleton police. An unidentified climber in his 20s got a lucky break yesterday while climbing near Highway 6 a few miles west of Golden. The climber fell about 100 feet onto an ice shelf but suffered only a broken ankle, no other serious injuries. Witnesses say the man had climbing gear but wasn't using a safety rope. The Colorado State Patrol says a woman who was driving a bus last week and hit an SUV most likely won't face any charges. The CSP says 59-year-old Marion Huffman reportedly passed out while driving the school bus, ran a stop sign, and hit the SUV. The six children on the bus weren't hurt, but five people in the SUV did suffer injuries. A 15-year-old girl wound up with a broken hip, while the woman driving received a cracked sternum and ribs. Huffman was also sent to the hospital for her injuries. Denver-based Quest Communications has been awarded a multi-year, multi-million-dollar contract by the University of Tennessee and the Tennessee Board of Regents. The statewide contract calls for Quest to be the exclusive provider of long-distance, toll-free, and calling card services. Quest Communications is a provider of voice, video, and data services to more than 25 million customers in a number of states. It looks to be a neck-and-neck race in Iowa, where Democratic presidential hopefuls are making 11th-hour pitches ahead of today's widely watched caucuses. The latest Reuters MSNBC Zogby three-day tracking poll shows Massachusetts Senator John Kerry has picked up yet another percentage point to lead the poll at 25%, but Howard Dean, John Edwards, and Richard Gephardt are on Kerry's heels. The poll has a plus or minus margin of error of 4.5 percentage points. While politics takes center stage for the Democrats in Iowa today, tomorrow belongs to the Republicans. That's when President Bush will go to Capitol Hill to deliver his State of the Union address for all the nation to see. With his reelection campaign on the horizon, Bush's speech is expected to highlight progress being seen in the economy, the global war on terrorism, and the military action in Iraq. The U.S. civilian administrator in Iraq, meanwhile, is hoping the U.N. will reinvolve themselves in Iraq. Paul Bremer and members of the Iraqi Governing Council met with U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan today.
We had an opportunity in the Governing Council in particular to review significant progress in Iraq in the area of security, in the area of the economy, which is now showing growth, and of course on the political process.
also discussed was the implementation of an elected democratic government by the end of 2005. Iraq and the U.S. want to reestablish a process with the U.N. and have offered to provide security to any of the organization's teams visiting the country. The two would like the U.N. technical teams to study the feasibility of elections. U.N. leaders, though, want more discussions before making that decision. A tense standoff at a state prison in Arizona now in its second day. Two inmates managed to storm a guard tower yesterday morning, taking a pair of corrections officers, a man and a woman, hostage. Negotiators have been able to talk with the officers, who say they are okay. In sports, Colorado Avalanche take on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight in Florida. Avs are coming off their loss to the San Jose Sharks on Saturday. Denver Nuggets have the night off tonight as they get ready to head to Utah to play the Jazz. Nuggets knocked off the Miami Heat 88-80 last night. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-2GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Work for someone you love. You. Are you looking for a satisfying career helping others? Join the trillion-dollar wellness revolution by becoming a body-mind specialist. You can become a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist and open your private practice upon graduation from Day of Miracles School. Your training is unique, spiritual, fun, and comprehensive. Sharpen your own awareness, listening, and communication skills. Take the weekend training to learn the psychology of the subconscious mind. The subconscious directly accesses the body, mind connection, and inner wisdom. Hypnotherapy is effective for smoking cessation, reducing stress and anxiety, releasing past traumas, creating better relationships, and much more. The dynamic training teaches you innovative skills of interactive hypnotherapy. Day of Miracles School is a licensed occupational school, and you're invited to call 303-777-2555. Classes begin February and September. Please mention KNRC to receive a tuition discount and CD about the program. Call 303-777-2555.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Big traffic problem right now is Civic Center Park, and that is because of the... Okay. The biggest problem in traffic right now is around Civic Center Park. The reason for that is the parade and the rally that is going on for Martin Luther King at this hour. A lot of pedestrian traffic and such down there, so be careful about that. Also, some residual slowing westbound on I-70 around Quebec Street because of an earlier car fire. For a limited time at participating Taco Bell locations, get the new cheesy bean and rice burrito. It's freshly prepared, just like all your Taco Bell favorites. When you want quality, think outside the bun. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Just some partial clearing through the afternoon with a high near 47. A trough of low pressure tonight brings some spotty snow showers after midnight with a low around 20. Look for clouds and scattered snow showers tomorrow, a high of 35, then becoming partly cloudy and 39 for the high on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 45 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday pre-Venice edition, pre-Venice. And Martin Luther King Jr. Day edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 2 o'clock, and then Doug Kellett takes over today from 2 to 6, enabling me to get to the airport because I'm on my way to Venice for a week. As I know you know ad nauseum, but you are going to be in great hands. Tom Reed from the Washington Post, T.R. Reed, who covers the Rocky Mountain region, and he's a bureau chief here, and he has also been the bureau chief London and Tokyo for the Washington Post. He does commentary on NPR. He is going to be in for me tomorrow. Also, the Style Twins, Judy Schwartz, Evelinda Ehrman are going to be filling in for 2 days, and Jerome Davis will be filling in for 2 days, and it's all staggered in there. And I will be back with you a week from tomorrow. So next Tuesday, I will be back with you on the air. I think the date is the 27th, and I'll have tales to tell. And if all goes well, I'll be reporting from Venice. So if we can figure out how to do this and get some phones at work, because that we're going to have an international, a phone that will work internationally with us. There are seven of us going. It is the most wildly eccentric group you could imagine. We've got a lot of, it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a great group of people. And how they're going to be confined, and whether we're all going to start pushing each other into the canals, into the sludgy old canals of Venice or not, is going to be another question. But, we've got people, you know, we've got a bunch of, well, it's Dana Crawford and Jill Crow are two people that you might know, and Francie McDonald is somebody that you might know, and, Julie Holmes you might know, and Christopher Kirkland and Monty Elliott you might know. So, and you might not know any of these people, but it's a great group of people. When you've got all these people who have their own point of view about something, and you try to figure out where you're going to book the hotel, it could get pretty grisly pretty quick, but it didn't. So I think this is a pretty good sign. We'll see what happens. But it's a 9-hour flight. It's a Denver DIA to Frankfurt, and then Frankfurt we change planes to Venice. So it's a lot of flying, and I don't think anybody got a whole lot of sleep because this is what's so weird about flying. If you go to the airport, I think people are half zonked when they walk in because traveling requires so much planning, particularly now. You just have to be meticulous in your planning. Yeah, it's just the weight requirements, what they let you do, what they don't let you do, how many bags you're allowed, what the weather's going to be. And, you know, it's like a puzzle, and you have to fit in all the pieces. Oh, well, you're bored to hear this. Anyway, what we've been talking about is my appearance on Fox. Enough about me. What do you think about me? No, just kidding. All right. The outrage of the moment. Here it is. Vice President Dick Cheney and Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia spent part of last week duck hunting together at a private camp in southern Louisiana just 3 weeks after the court agreed to take up the vice president's appeal in lawsuits over his handling of the administration's energy task force. So if this isn't, if not the appearance of a conflict of interest, an actual conflict of interest, you tell me. This is business that's going to come before the Supreme Court. This is the vice president's appeal regarding lawsuits over his handling of the administration's energy task force. In other words, he won't make the makeup of the task force public. He refuses to do it. He's being sued. It's going to come up before the Supreme Court. And who is he duck hunting with but Antonin Scalia? While Scalia and Cheney are avid hunters and longtime friends, several experts in legal ethics questioned the timing of their trip and said it raised doubts about Scalia's ability to judge the case impartially. But Scalia rejected that concern, saying, "I do not think my impartiality could reasonably be questioned. Federal law says any justice or judge shall disqualify himself in any proceeding in which his impartiality might be questioned." For nearly 3 years, Cheney has been fighting demands that he reveal whether he met with energy industry officials, including Ken Lay, the biggest contributor to George W. Bush when he was chairman of Enron, while he was formulating the president's energy policy. What Ken Auletta is reporting in the New Yorker magazine is that this administration is treating the press like a special interest group, and they are marginalizing the press. As I have said, if you're covering the White House, which for a reporter is a very prestigious slot to have, if you are covering the White House and you start to write damaging stuff about the White House or stories that they don't like, painting them not in the light that they want to be painted, guess what? They will shut you out. And in shutting you out, you won't be able to do your job. You will be transferred. So there are plenty of reporters who, as you heard one of our callers say, somebody from Fox came up to him and said, when he was wearing a Howard Dean pin, said, "He's Dean's my man, but I'm working for Fox." So here's the guy whoring himself out for his career, which I really have no respect for at all. A Howard Dean guy, but working for a right-wing television station. And I have never underscored this point more than after this weekend. I got a ton of emails responding to my presence on Fox News, and most of them were hideous, not most, but many, were hideous and vicious. These are people who are nasty, angry, have no interest in a civil discourse or any other kind of a discourse, and have no sense of humor, and a lot of personal attacks. And when I saw these emails, of course I'm not surprised, but I'm thinking, God, Fox is really pandering to this group. So here's Cheney. He's got business before the Supreme Court. He's going to be coming before the Supreme Court very shortly. It's good. The Supreme Court is taking up His appeal in lawsuits over his handling of not letting us know who made up his energy task force. And who does he go duck hunting with? Antonin Scalia. 303-382-1150. What could any of them be thinking? I think Scalia's got to recuse himself here. What do you think? 303-382-1150. And then here is Cheney talking at a conference. And he gave a speech, and he devoted the half-hour speech to a frightening note. What does this sound like to you? Let me just describe it, and you tell me what you think. Cheney devoted the half-hour speech to a frightening characterization of the war on terrorism and the new kind of mobilization he said it demanded. He sounded the alarm about the increasing prospects of a major new terrorist attack and the extraordinary responses that are required. While many of his remarks in the speech echoed past comments by the president and senior officials, Cheney struck a surprisingly dour note and suggested only an administration of proven ability. Ah, there's the catch. Could manage the dramatic overhaul necessary for the nation's security apparatus. So what he's going around doing as they're running up to the election is painting the most vicious, the most dour picture of what is going to happen unless you retain George W. Dickey Bush. And then these two dicks can stay in the White House together and do whatever it is two dicks do at the same time. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. There is a new report out that ranks the states from the most corrupt to the least corrupt. You know where Colorado fits in? Well, let me give you the most corrupt states. They are, I guess in order, Mississippi is apparently the most corrupt state in the United States. And the least corrupt state? Nebraska. Mississippi is the most, this is the list now of most corrupt states. Mississippi, North Dakota, Louisiana, Alaska, Illinois, where they vote early and often, Montana, South Dakota, where Janklow is in deep trouble there, Kentucky, Florida, where the election was stolen, I think, and New York. The 10 least corrupt states in the country are Nebraska, Oregon, New Hampshire, Iowa, Colorado, Utah, Minnesota, Arizona, Arkansas, and Wisconsin. Let me give you that again. The most corrupt states are Mississippi, North Dakota, Louisiana, Alaska, Illinois, Montana, South Dakota, Kentucky, Florida. Gee, didn't we have an election there, a selection there? And New York. The 10 least corrupt states in the country are Nebraska, Oregon, New Hampshire, Iowa, Colorado, Utah, Minnesota, Arizona, Arkansas, and Wisconsin. There's a movement afoot. Bush's State of the Union address tomorrow night to grade the State of the Union, or the skate of the Union, as I'm calling it. Why don't we do that? Why don't we grade the State of the Union and do a report card on what Bush... I'm not going to be able to hear it. I'm going to be in Venice. So unless I'm near a television set, or I don't know how they do it, I guess I don't know if they'll even broadcast the State of the Union. Maybe they'll broadcast the news report entirely in Italian that I barely understand. And I'll try to figure it out. I'll read his lips. A new poll is out. President Bush begins his campaign year with Americans voicing strong support for his handling of the war against terrorism, but many doubting his economic and domestic policies, according to, now this is the latest New York Times CBS News poll. Fewer than one, what has happened is now that they brought in Saddam Hussein, his poll numbers have started to slide again. Fewer than one in five people said their tax burden has been eased by Mr. Bush, who has made tax cuts the centerpiece of his economic program. His latest domestic initiatives unveiled in the run-up to the State of the Union only got a lukewarm response, with 58% saying that building a permanent space station on the moon was not worth the risk or the cost. Moreover, the support Bush gained after the capture of Saddam Hussein last month has largely dissipated. His overall approval rating now stands at 50%, comparable to President Clinton's 47% in January of 1996. Bush remains a polarizing figure in a sharply divided country, with 9 in 10 Republicans approving of his performance, but only 1 out of 4 Democrats. Despite those vulnerabilities, which the Democratic presidential candidates are busily trying to exploit, Bush retains a powerful advantage on national security. 68%, including majorities of both Democrats and independents, give him a high mark for the campaign against terrorism. God knows why. I really don't know why. He has made us less safe, not more safe. I can't believe people are that dumb. And 68% said that the Bush administration's policies have made the United States safer from terrorist attacks. 64% said they considered him a strong leader, but people don't like his domestic policies or his economic policies. Do you believe we're safer? How can people believe that? 303-382-1150. Tom on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Tom.
I just wanted to confirm what you just said. Scalia, this is he is a criminal. He has violated federal law in this instance that you just mentioned.
What, how, wait. Why is he a criminal?
Well, the statute is 28 U.S.C. 455, Title 28, Section 455.
Are you an attorney?
No, but I understand that law.
Okay. And what does it say?
Well, you quoted some of it, you know, that any justice, judge or justice, including these Supreme Court so-called justices, and it's not just Scalia, Rehnquist and Thomas have done this too, that they're supposed to recuse themselves and disqualify themselves from cases when there's even an appearance of a that they might be not be impartial, that there's an appearance
and
of impropriety.
And actually, Scalia did do that not in this case so far, but in the Pledge of Allegiance, because he had given a speech that revealed his attitudes. He was asked to recuse himself, or at least there was some body of opinion that he recused himself, and he wound up doing it.
But there's several instances that are even more blatant than this one with Cheney. Scalia is a tobaccoic, which is a tobacco drug addict. He is a tobacco drug user.
Who is Scalia?
Scalia and Rehnquist and Thomas.
Wait, what are you calling them? A tobaccoic?
Right, like alcoholic, tobacco-ic, you know.
How about a tobacco-ic like that?
Smokers are drug addicts.
Yeah.
And tobacco is the most deadly of all drugs. More people die from using tobacco than using all the drugs combined.
Do you think that it makes him addled? Because PETA is saying that if you eat meat, you become impotent. So if you smoke, do you become addled? Is that it?
Well, it's a mind-altering drug, that's for sure. And Scalia and Rehnquist and Thomas ruled that the words of the law don't mean what they say. When there was a case, Brown and Williamson versus FDA, they ruled that the words of the law do not mean what they say. You know, these Republican Supreme Court justices don't believe in the rule of law, and they are criminals. They violate federal law, and the Republican-controlled federal government, the legislative branch and executive branch don't care about the rule of law, and they do nothing to enforce these statutes.
Tom, why do you think that in this recent poll, this is a New York Times CBS poll, most Americans believe that the Bush administration's policies have made the U.S. safer from terrorist attacks? Isn't that extraordinary?
I think it's because most Americans are caught up in this twisted religious fervor that is manifested by these evil Republicans.
Well, we're going to leave it there, and I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. You agree with Tom, twisted religious fervor? Well, you know, for a bunch of people who call themselves so religious and that God is talking to them through their molars, they are the greediest, they are corrupt, they care only about themselves, they don't care about the common good, they just want to get reelected, and they want to grab for as much as they can get, grab for all the gusto they can get, 303-382-1150. And what's the big deal with the Iowa caucus? Not very many Iowans participate in the caucus anyway, from the reports I've seen, maybe 20-25%, something like that. And what's the big deal with, why the diversion? We're so interested in having a horse race, that we're now diverted from just about everything else that's going on right now. Even Michael Jackson, we're hardly even thinking about Michael Jackson and Lacey Peterson. My God, we're thick into the Iowa caucuses. And what's incredible to me is all the polling that's going on when everybody says it's impossible to poll it. You can't poll it. And then Zogby is in there saying, well, Dina's slipping, Kerry is up. But wasn't Zogby the same poller who predicted that Wayne Allard was going to get upset by challenger Tom Strickland? Remember that? And Zogby was wrong. And that's in a more traditional polling situation than what you have in Iowa, where many people will not poll it because it's way too dicey. So what it looks like is that Dean is slipping. Is he really slipping? Don't know. He must think so because he brought his wife in finally. And it looks like Kerry is coming up, but will Kerry connect with the electorate? Does he have a chance? Does he resemble too much a tree, who happens to be rather ambulatory and was highly decorated during Vietnam? You tell me. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Pre-Venice and Martin Luther King Day edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
One side of us says gloating about Greg Dobbs being named Denver's best talk show host by Westword is wrong. The other side of us says, why not? Lucky for us, we listen to both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
It's difficult enough to work your way through this jungle called life every day without having to carry an 800-pound gorilla of high-interest student loans around with you. So just do what over 300,000 people have already done and call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. College Loan Corporation will gladly give you the advice you need while helping you look into interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest federal rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
The fuel-injected big block, the V8, the precision-engineered supercharged hot rod. I'm Jason Priestley. Join me for a spin in TLC's newest series, Rides. It's custom cars from conception to modification to acceleration. High speed, in-depth rides. Get your motor running. Tuesday at 9, only on TLC.
If you're trying to lose weight safely, sensibly, and effectively, listen closely. This message is for you. We all know that to lose weight, a sensible diet and exercise are the keys to getting rid of unwanted pounds. And while we can't always be good, there's a secret weapon to get you through the tough times. Introducing UltraCarb. The active ingredient in all-natural UltraCarb can slow the transition of carbohydrates into fat, giving you the edge it takes when you're trying to lose weight the right way. Thousands of people across the country have made UltraCarb a part of their weight loss program with amazing results. The fact is, no pill can make you lose weight overnight, but with UltraCarb, you can get a welcome boost toward achieving your goal, and in the war against fat, every little bit helps. Whether you're on a low-carb diet or just reducing your intake, UltraCarb can help. Imagine looking in the mirror and seeing a happier, thinner you. With UltraCarb, you can make that a reality. Call now to find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or your money back. 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. It's risk-free and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
Hi, this is Dominic Barasha.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Listen to Dominic and Bill live this week from 6 to 9 p.m.
And you could win tickets to the hot new show at the Denver Civic Theater, Cookin' at the Cookery.
It's the story of blues legend Alberta Hunter and her comeback show in Greenwich Village at the age of 82.
It's a rousing, raunchy, sexy celebration of a great American songstress and the life she led.
And you can see Cookin' at the Cookery for free just by listening to Dominic and Bill live all this week on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
126 on the Pre-Venice edition of Enid Live. I'm only yours till 2 o'clock, and Doug Kelly is going to take over. But when I get back, we're going to have great guests. Stephen J. Cannell, he's got a blockbuster out, you know, him from the Rockford Files. We're also going to have Kevin Phillips, who has written this very explosive revelation on the Bush family dynasty. And he is a Republican, Kevin Phillips. So later on, when I return, and they're all kidding me, I'm going to Venice, 303-382-1150. Call me 30. No, just kidding. We were just kidding about that. And the other thing I want to talk about, we're talking about, is America safer? A lot of you think so, apparently, in the latest polling from the New York Times, CBS, that the Bush administration has made America safer. I can't see how. In fact, you can make a very strong case that America is more vulnerable because our first responders are over there fighting that distraction of a war that we are stuck in for the foreseeable future. 303-382-1150. The other thing I want to talk to you about is I ran into a number of people over the weekend and heard stories about how the media, the Denver media, I was amazed when I saw a huge story about Governor Owens, I think in the Sunday Denver Post, and assessing his career as governor over all these years, and it never once made mention of the fact that the man and his wife are separated and that he made his career on family values. I can't believe it, and I think there's probably a story to be told about that, about the way that the media in Denver protects him. It sounds to me like the fix is in. There are rumors on rumors on rumors swirling around about that man and his, you know, and all the reasons why there was a marital separation, and that he might be doing this with so-and-so, and he might be doing that with so-and-so, and so-and-so might be starting to show, and wah, wah, wah. It's just getting really, really, really vicious out there. But nobody, he is wholly protected in this town. I think that's amazing. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Joe, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm a first-time caller.
Joe, I'm going to spell my name for you. It's Enid. E-N-I-D. Enid. Can you say it?
Yeah, I'll try. But as you can hear from my accent, I might not be able to say it. Yeah.
But let me get... All right, if you're a first-time caller, we have something for you. Just a minute.
Okay.
There.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, you need, actually, I want to disagree with you because on the issue of the fact that America is safer, because if you look at the big picture and the fact that there has not been any attack since 9/11, it goes to prove that if these people had a chance, they would have attacked. And the fact that somebody might be doing something right, that's why...
Just because there, if your argument is, Joe, that just because we haven't had another attack that we must be doing right to prevent it, it's not a good argument, because what we know about bin Laden and his people is it takes them several years to crank up an effort. So the absence of something doesn't mean the presence of something else. I think we've just been lucky, frankly.
Yeah, but the way I look at it is, it takes time, and they usually plan a spectacular attack. Yeah, we all understand that. But at the same time, if they get a chance, because these people, I've got the privilege to know some few guys, some Muslims, and if you hear the way they talk, it's like even just killing one American means a lot to them. So I really want to give credit for when it is due, because it is the same thing that in the 90s, when the economy was booming, the hardcore conservatives, they don't want to give Clinton any credit. It's the same thing that the liberals also do.
Didn't want to give Clinton any credit. But look at George Bush. He never gets any blame. He can make gaffe after gaffe after gaffe, and he's never called on the carpet for it. But let Howard Dean or one of the Democratic candidates look cross-eyed, and that's it. The press is all over him. I think the coverage has been unfair, and I think a lot has been allowed to. I think that Bush has been given a free pass, essentially, that he doesn't, and he. We are not safer. But if you listen to Fox News, by the way, you will believe that there's a connection with Iraq and Osama bin Laden, even though the White House has said there's no connection. Colin Powell said there's no connection. People think that this administration has been tough on terrorism, and in fact, it has made us weaker, not stronger. Jay, on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, I think the problem is we have news by sound bites. Whatever political parties or political candidates, especially the administration they put out there, the local news and the fact that people get most of their news from TV is they have news by soundbite, and they actually think they know what's going on.
I wonder if people are even getting any news on TV, from TV. I think a lot of people are really busy. They get a snippet here, they get a snippet there, they get a little bit on their way, on their drive home.
But I think that's the snippets they get. They get a soundbite, you know, today the president said so-and-so, and then there's no analysis of it, there's no questioning of it, there's no anything of it. And that goes way back to Spiro Agnew, when the news stopped questioning.
All right, so what can we do? How can we do? What can we do?
I think people have to read something else. I mean, you know, I think Americans are stupid, and I think that's the only way to say it when you get those kind of statistics, because we have the internet, we have all kind of information, alternative newspapers, magazines, newsletters.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't do it. They're disengaged. They don't think that the process speaks to them. They're busy trying to earn a living, and it's just easier to tune in Fox, have your favorite prejudices reinforced, and get on with it.
Well,
that's what I think happens. But I think you're right, Jay. I think there are all kinds of other sources, and people don't avail themselves of them. Thank you for the call. I also want to say this: the price of living in a democracy is that you need to inform yourself, read a newspaper once in a while, and definitely you have to vote. You just have to. Kathy in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Kathy.
First off, I'd like to wish you bon voyage.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful trip.
Second off, you asked last week, you know, what you thought might happen to O'Neill for coming out.
Well, they've launched an inquiry, which I think is a bogus inquiry, but they're just trying to rattle him. What do you think will happen? Other than the story, no, but the media's not giving it much play. It's not getting traction, maybe.
Well, actually, the following morning, they downgraded Alcoa stock.
Who downgraded Alcoa stock? He's not involved with Alcoa, I don't think, although maybe he holds a lot of stock.
Oh, I'm sure he's living off the dividends.
So who downgraded Alcoa?
I'm not sure.
Well, I don't.
I heard on the radio, on the news, just once, Alcoa stock has been downgraded.
Yeah, but that the government doesn't do that. I think it's a Wall Street thing that happens.
Yes, I do. I agree with that. And if one of your listeners knows more about that, but maybe a call to Wall Street. Anyway, yesterday I heard James Carville on NPR.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a new book out, and I wish you could get him for an interview. It's called Had Enough, and it's a handbook for fighting back.
James Carville's always a great guest. That's a great idea, Kathy. We will try to get him.
He says that Karl Rove wants a one-party government, and he gives specific ways to take America back.
All right. We're going to try and get him.
Thank you.
It's an excellent suggestion, and I thank you for it. Also, this is big news. Jane Harman is a California representative. You know, Harman Kardon, all the great sound systems and so on. She is the wife of, but she is a representative in California. Why she's so interesting is she's the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, and she sees in very sensitive data. And she is calling on President Bush to provide a public accounting next week, or this week even, of why pre-war American intelligence assessments that Iraq possessed illegal weapons now appear to have been mistaken. She thinks that Mr. Bush should use his State or Skate of the Union address on Tuesday to acknowledge the problems and outline specific steps to fix them. Despite months of intensive speeches, American inspectors in Iraq have not yet found evidence of the chemical and bioweapons and the nuclear weapons program in Iraq that the intelligence agencies said existed. The Bush administration, which pointed to those assessments as a main reason for invading Iraq last March, has said almost nothing publicly since October about the status of the search for illegal weapons. So here she is, the top-ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. She sees these documents. And the New York Post had it right in its headline, two words, Bush knew. Frankly amazing that apparently there were a lot of intelligence reports to Bush about the possibility. The Pentagon was very well aware that they had intercepted all kinds of stuff, saying that it was very possible that one of these groups would try to fly an airplane into a building or so on. So what they think the Bush people are trying to hide is that Bush may have said he does not want any more of these intelligence reports. And this was in the August preceding the 9/11 attack. Pretty strong stuff, if that's the case. 303-382-1150. But the New York Post, a conservative publication, ran a headline that said, Bush knew. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the pre-Venice edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 2 o'clock today on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 46 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Airborne Natural Cold Remedy. Thousands of people turned out in downtown Denver today for the annual parade in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Participants marched from City Park to Civic Center Park for a rally. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper was heckled by some folks protesting the death of a teenager by a Denver police officer. I-25 will be closed at Hampton Avenue tonight as crews continue the demolition of the southern portion of the Hampton Bridge. The schedule calls for a closure again tomorrow night, but T-Rex says it is possible they may get that work wrapped up tonight. Police in Littleton are continuing their investigation of the murder of a 46-year-old woman at a gift shop over the weekend. The woman's car was stolen but was found at a nearby motel. At the motel, police arrested someone they call a person of interest in that case. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche skate into Florida tonight to play the Tampa Bay Lightning. Avs lost their game to San Jose here in Denver on Saturday night. Got a cold symptom? Take Airborne Natural Cold Remedy. Airborne was created by a school teacher who was sick of catching colds in class. Find Airborne at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and CVS. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning series asks, should we stop using animals for entertainment? An Arvada High School student has proposed that Denver pass a law banning the display of all wild or exotic animals. The ban would eliminate these animals in parades, carnivals, photo shoots, and circuses. The Denver Zoo, Ocean Journey, and National Western Stock Show would not be affected. The student and animal rights activists say these animals are mistreated and abused, citing stories of severely injured circus animals to bolster their cause. Opponents of the ban say that laws exist to protect animals and those laws just need to be enforced. They say the ban would only force the circus to visit other cities, taking the millions of dollars of revenue it generates elsewhere. Tune in Friday night at 8:30 for a lively discussion on Colorado State of Mind on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. And join the discussion anytime online at rmpbs.org. Don't miss Colorado State of Mind every Friday night only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Biggest problem this afternoon might very well be the injury accident at Forest and Leedsdale Drive. Three cars involved there, a lot of emergency equipment on the scene. Biggest freeway problem might be southbound on I-25 approaching C-470. Got a couple of vehicles off on the shoulder, and one of them has its hood up, so that might be a bit of a light show in there. Everything else around town much lighter than usual because of the holiday, and remember that a lot of people are still milling around Civic Center Park because of the Martin Luther King rally, so use a little extra caution there. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-2-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We are expecting a little bit of white weather later tonight as a trough of low pressure moves across the listening area. Partial clearing for us through the afternoon with a high near 47. And some isolated snow showers after midnight tonight with a low around 20. Now those spotty snow showers will be with us tomorrow as well as cloudy skies with highs in the mid-30s, upper 30s on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 46 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big-ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. They have full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508 or online at ipfunding.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
Since 1997, internet users have visited the website eDiets to help them plan their weight loss programs. For nearly a year, eDiets has been the exclusive online provider of the Atkins Nutritional Diet Plan, purveyor of the very popular low-carb diet. Now, eDiets plans to offer the Atkins plans to its members in Britain. eDiets Chief Financial Officer Rob Hamilton on the overseas move.
We have 160 million Americans that are either defined as overweight or obese. So it's an American issue, but it also has no borders. And the UK and Western Europe is a huge market, and we do see that as a significant driver of growth over the longer term.
Hamilton says last year's partnership deal with Atkins marked a strategic shift in that eDiets is now a destination for multiple brands.
We have Atkins, we have Zone, and we have Dr. Phil, and we will be adding significant more diets to that. In 2004, we publicly stated that we think we'll be adding one branded diet per quarter to that.
So while it helps more people slim down, eDiets is expanding. I'm Charlie Turner from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
143 on the pre-Venice edition, Martin Luther King Day. Also, we are celebrating the life of a very important man. Today, I leave for Venice. In just a few minutes, Doug Kellett is graciously taking over my final hour. And so you're going to have Doug Kellett from 2 to 6 today. On Martin Luther King Day. I'll be back in a week, and in for me, you'll be in great hands. You're going to Tom Reed, T.R. Reed, who is the Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief for the Washington Post, has been the Bureau Chief for London and also Tokyo for the Post. He's going to be filling in tomorrow. Judy Schwartz, Evelinda Ehrman are going to be filling in for 2 days, and Jerome Davis is going to be filling in for 2 days. So I think you're going to have a lot of fun with all of them. Each of them will do the show in a different way. And I will be back with you in a week with Tales to Tell, and I may even be reporting from Venice, depending on if we can get good connections. So also, when I return, Stephen J. Cannell is going to be one of our guests, Kevin Phillips, Republican strategist who's just written a blockbuster about the Bushes. Remember last week when we talked about Congressman Doug Ossie from California wants to get those seven dirty words not to be used at all in broadcast? Well, he has written a bill that is so colorful in its language, so much more obscene than anything that you would ever hear in broadcast, that you have to laugh. It's just hilarious. And as George Carlin once famously noted, one of the words on the bill simply combines a word for donkey and a word for concavity. So how are you ever going to be able to say you can't use those words? Anyway, the bill itself is way more obscene than anything anyone was ever going to say on the air. 303-382-1150. George in Lafayette. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, good afternoon, Enid.
Hi, George.
I would like to just compare and contrast the, to borrow a phrase, at the fast response that the White House had to investigating the documents that apparently Mr. O'Neill got his hands on, with the foot dragging that they did on the outing of the CIA agent.
Not only that, but the foot dragging they're doing on stonewalling the 9/11 commission.
Well, that too.
And on the foot dragging they're doing in revealing who made up the energy task force that Dick Cheney is now going to have to deal with in front of the Supreme Court with his friend Antonin Scalia that he goes duck hunting with.
Yes, in this case, I think foot dragging is probably a vast understatement.
Well, you make an excellent point. They were very quick to out Valerie Plame, and they were very quick to institute an inquiry into Paul O'Neill and those documents. Oh. But why haven't the media been as quick to put that stuff on the front page?
Yes, and I would again like to remind you that Fox is spelled F-A-U-X.
Thank you, George. 303-382-1150. Michael Moore has come out for Wesley Clark. I don't think that's a surprise. So is Madonna. I guess he has a lot of sex appeal. One of the things that we talked about, because we're tying up all these loose ends before I head over, head to Europe, is that, remember, there are all these microbiologists who were found dead, a bunch of them, and of course, I didn't think of the most prominent one and the most recent one, and that is Dr. David Kelly, who was found dead just this past year in July. It was believed that he committed suicide, but in some additional information, the mystery of Dr. Kelly's death deepened with the revelation that he sent friends emails hours before his death talking of being haunted by, quote, many dark actors playing games. So what this means, I don't know, whether he was haunted by depression or whether he felt like his life was at risk, I really do not know. But isn't it odd that all of these people who are working on deadly viruses and so on are dropping dead, one after another, in various parts of the world? What does that mean? If you were writing a thriller, this could be part of the plot. Joe and Bailey, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
On what the gentleman just said about dragging their feet on the Joe Wilson investigation, apparently the reason that they chose to do that was because by waiting this long to assign a special investigator, they know that there won't have to be any results prior to the election. Then once the election takes place, they can just drop it all again.
The New York Post, two words, Bush knew. Bush knew. That's what they're saying. And here's Jane Harman, who is a top-ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, and she sees a lot of sensitive data, and she thinks that that she is challenging Bush on this intelligence lapse. They've never apologized. They've never said we made up a story or the intelligence was wrong and we've sent your loved ones into combat where they could easily lose their lives for a whole set of reasons that wind up not to have existed.
Well, isn't it amazing that this administration takes responsibility for absolutely nothing?
I thought the Republicans want you to take responsibility.
Well, I know, but they never apologize. They never take responsibility for anything. And I think one of the really amazing things, and referring back to your situation on Fox the other day, which I thought you did a great job. I've watched both of them so far, and you're getting better and better.
Thank you. I don't know if they think so. That may be it. We'll see.
Well, they're going to have you back on because you've generated a lot of mail, and that's really what it's all about. I mean, even if they only want you on as a punching bag, you're definitely going to be back.
Well, you know, Alan Colmes, God bless him, he doesn't stand up to Sean Hannity.
Yeah, well.
Does he?
You know, Sean, he also doesn't believe we can win this election based on his comments the other day on Bill O'Reilly's show. But,
well, I don't know either. I mean, I think the Democrats have really got to get it together, and I think we have to ask more of our press. We need more accountability.
I think what's really interesting, though, is that you've mentioned that Mr. Gallagher said that none of the Democratic candidates have vision, and I found it interesting that in the Post today that the State of the Union address is supposed to be how visionary Bush is, which has got to be the oxymoron.
Oh,
of all
please,
time.
Disengaged,
right.
uninterested, incurious, everything that Molly Ivins and his other biographers have said about him. We're going to have to leave it there, Joe. I thank you very much for the call. I have a lot of people I want to thank. I want to thank Joe Anderson. I'm going to thank Jordan Lyles. I am on my way to Venice. You're going to have Doug Kellett from 2 to 6 today and then following Dominic and Billy. I'll see you on the 27th, and I may even be talking to you before then, because if we can work this out, I'm going to call in and do some reporting from Venice, and I'll do it in Italian. No, I'm just kidding. and see if you can understand. So have a wonderful week, all of you. You're going to be in great hands with Tom Reed, the Style Twins, Evelinda and Judy, and Jerome Davis. And I will see you next Tuesday right here, a week from tomorrow, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Ciao, Bella.
Soon to be the most listened to station in Colorado. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
You got the Carlson file handy?
Yeah, it's over there on the credenza.
You mean the bookcase?
It's a credenza.
Okay, where I come from, that's a bookcase.
Dude, we grew up together.
So you claim.
Furniture, that's our thing. This week during our Office Max Business Savings event, save $50 on any furniture purchase of $350 or more. Buy one, get one free on Smead filing products and 3M Post-it notes, plus 10% off on all Office Max ink and toner. At Office Max, our thing is unbeatable savings. What's your thing?
Offer ends January 24th. See store for details.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Are drugs affecting you, your family, or a friend? Narcanon provides answers to drug addiction. They offer free assessment and referral services to over 11,000 treatment centers nationwide. For 30 years, Narcanon has successfully used a drug-free approach to long-term recovery that works. They understand the cravings, guilt, and depression associated with addiction. To find out more about Narcanon, log on to www.stopaddiction.com or call 1-800-468-6933. At John Elway Showrooms, you get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. There are no worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest.
I'm no professional photographer, but Walgreens' new digital photo center sure makes me feel like I am. With just the touch of a screen, I can choose and edit the photos I want. I can crop them, remove red eye, and when I'm ready to print, I can also choose the size and quantity. So in almost no time, I'm walking out with premium prints at a price that's anything but premium. Just 29 cents for each 4x6. Walgreens' new digital photo center, where America takes its digital pictures.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the 3-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Warm up your winter with a roof-raising celebration of the music and times of electrifying jazz legend Alberta Hunter, told in the Key of Blues. The new Denver Civic Theater at 721 Santa Fe Drive presents a loving tribute to an icon of the blues, legendary songstress Alberta Hunter, whose international career spans a century. Cooking at the Cookery played to record-breaking crowds throughout the country, including Phoenix, New York, and Chicago. Critics agree the show is red-hot, astonishing, electrifying, delicious entertainment. Cooking at the Cookery, set in 1977, is written, directed, and choreographed by Marion J. Caffey. It stars Tony nominee Ernestine Jackson and Janice Lorraine, who impersonates Hunter with sass, energy, and musical savvy, said Donald Lyons of the New York Post. Tickets just $40, Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m., weekend matinees at 3 p.m., Sunday at 7 p.m. Special $30 price on Wednesdays. On sale at Ticket West Outlets, King Supers, by calling 866-464-2626 or at www.denvercivic.com.
Talk to Lionel.
Federal officials said they favor premarital education programs that focus on high school students. Now let's get down to brass tacks. Question number one. Do you want the federal government teaching, promoting marriage? No. The worst thing to do to promote anything is the government. The government. It's terrible.
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNIC. Dominic and Bill.
No, you can buy an apartment for $300,000.
Yeah. So you've got this big, nice house.
But the rats come with it.
They do.
If you're lucky, you pay extra for the gay rats.
Yes, exactly.
Very nice. Plus, they don't reproduce.
Yes.
Then they start giving you advice on dressing these rats. But
and this guy
they dress my pussycat. Yeah. It's called Queer Rat for the Straight Pussycat.
Dominic and Bill, weeknights from 6 to 9 on AM 1150 KNRC. Talk to Alan Combs.
Democrats need a vision. They can't keep doing what they're doing. And this frustrates me because I am a Democrat. I happen to think Democratic policies are the best for America, but they've done a lousy job of articulating them and showing America a vision for the future. You have Howard Dean who's saying, it's only a theory, but the Saudis told Bush about 9/11 before the fact. It's only a theory. Well, then don't say it because people are going to think you're promoting that theory. You're not going to win saying that. Maybe you win the nomination, but you're not going to become president.
Alan Combs, late night, starting at midnight on AM 1150 KNRC. Talk to Bill O'Reilly.
San Diego City Council agreed to settle with the American Civil Liberties Union over a lawsuit challenging the city's lease to the Desert Pacific Boy Scouts Council. Even though the Supreme Court of America said the Boy Scouts have a perfect right because it's a private organization to monitor what kind of a person joins the organization, the ACLU went around that and goes into the anti-discrimination laws. So what's going to happen is the ACLU is going to do this all over the country. Forget about the Boy Scouts. I mean, see you later.
Bill O'Reilly, weekday mornings from 10 till noon on AM 1150 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We're the Style Matters gals, and we love to shop.
But sometimes we don't like to shop for the same things. For example, I'm sick of looking for thigh-high white boots for you.
Well, that's because you have a short attention span. But there are two boutiques where we both love to shop. Posh and the Perfect Petal at 32nd and Lowell in the Highland neighborhood.
These two boutiques are more than just gift shops. They sell almost anything your little heart desires, such as Anthony shaving and skincare lines for men, stylish hats, the accessory for this season, dishware, and decorative home items.
How about unique floral arrangements, the hottest new skincare line called Juice, and a bridal registry, invitations, and gifts? It's all at the Perfect Petal and Posh.
Two incredible boutiques, Posh and the Perfect Petal, at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Monday through Saturdays, 9 to 8, Sundays, 11 to 5.
We both love to shop there because they give great shopping.
Work for someone you love. You. Are you looking for a satisfying career helping others? Join the trillion-dollar wellness revolution by becoming a body-mind specialist. You can become a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist and open your private practice upon graduation from Day of Miracles School. Your training is unique, spiritual, fun, and comprehensive. Sharpen your own awareness, listening, and communication skills. Take the weekend training to learn the psychology of the subconscious mind. The subconscious directly accesses the body, mind connection, and inner wisdom. Hypnotherapy is effective for smoking cessation, reducing stress and anxiety, releasing past traumas, creating better relationships, and much more. The dynamic training teaches you innovative skills of interactive hypnotherapy. Day of Miracles School is a licensed occupational school, and you're invited to call 303-777-2555. Classes begin February and September. Please mention KNRC to receive a tuition discount and CD about the program. Call 303-777-2555.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapahoe Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Napoleon.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Napoleon.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS&H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado. When you need to know.
I know.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
There's only one place to go.
Yeah, I know.
I do.
I do, too.
Get in the know.
It's what I need to know.
Information you need to know on AM 1150 KNRC. People are talking about AM 1150 KNRC.
It's a busy world, and none of us has a lot of time, especially me.
The station you can depend on.
You're going to give me all the headlines that's going on around the country, around the globe. That's why we use this station.
AM 1150 KNRC. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 46 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. Organizers call it the nation's largest celebration of Martin Luther King Day. Denver stages a march and a parade, called a marade, attracting an estimated 40,000 onlookers. The activities culminated with a rally at Civic Center Park. Among the speakers today, Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper, who competed with some hecklers.
When we look around us today and we see that this is the largest Martin Luther King parade in the United States, we should be proud.
The hecklers felt it was appropriate to use MLK Day as a forum to protest the fatal shooting of Denver teenager Paul Childs last summer by a city police officer. T-Rex crews will be working tonight as they continue to tear down the southern portion of the Hampton Avenue Bridge. Consequently, there will be a closure of I-25 tonight as we hear from spokeswoman Karen Morales.
Tonight, starting at 9 p.m., we will again have a full closure of I-25 at Hampton Avenue. Northbound motorists will be taken off the off-ramp and right back down the on-ramp. Southbound motorists will be detoured at Santa Fe and take the usual detour from Santa Fe to Hampton and back onto southbound I-25.
Morales says just like last week, crews are a bit ahead of schedule.
We made excellent progress on the first night of demolition with the Hampton Avenue Bridge. We are certainly hoping that we can complete the demolition activities tonight and not have to go for a third night of closure. But until we actually get in there, we won't know for sure.
Whether I-25 is closed or not, drivers need to watch out for major lane shifts in that area. Police investigators continue their work on a weekend murder at a Littleton gift shop. 46-year-old Rhonda Holland was found stabbed to death at the Seasons Giving gift shop near Littleton Boulevard and Santa Fe Drive. The woman's car was stolen but was found at a nearby motel. Littleton Police Sergeant Sean Dugan says today investigators are dusting Holland's 1992 Dodge Shadow for prints.
If we can develop any fingerprints from the vehicle, those will be submitted to AFIS, the Automated Fingerprint Identification System, to see if those fingerprints are traced back to any one person, and hopefully we can develop information from that.
Along with finding the car at the motel, police found someone they're calling a person of interest in the case who is being questioned. Anyone with information that could aid in the investigation is asked to contact the Littleton Police Department. Pamphlets with a racist message were distributed in a Westminster neighborhood on Saturday morning. The pamphlet is attributed to a group known as the National Alliance and contained a message that says that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. plagiarized his speeches and has a headline that reads, "The Beast as Saint." The pamphlets also contain a website address and a local phone number. When dialed, the phone number has a recorded message that is a recruiting announcement. Kobe Bryant's endorsement contract with McDonald's has expired. A two-sentence statement from McDonald's Corporation spokesman William Whitman reads, quote, "McDonald's contract with Kobe Bryant expired on December 31, 2003. Per the terms of our agreement, it would be inappropriate to comment or speculate at this time about any future sponsorship relationship." First place is still within any candidate's reach going into the Iowa caucuses tonight. Senator John Kerry has a slight lead over the other top three candidates. Former Governor Howard Dean, Senator John Edwards, and Congressman Richard Gephardt round out the top four. The latest Reuters MSNBC Zogby poll has 9% of likely caucusgoers still undecided, leaving room for any candidate to come out on top. Near-freezing temperatures aren't expected to keep 100,000 Democrats away from the caucuses. The key to success in Iowa is getting supporters to the caucuses, and all the contenders and their volunteers were busy over the weekend drumming up additional support. President Bush takes to the airwaves tomorrow to deliver his State of the Union address. It's expected to be a positive speech, with the president highlighting the American economy, success in the war on terror, and his reasonings for staying in Iraq. No more leaks have been found aboard the International Space Station. The two astronauts on board sealed off two modules over the weekend to be sure no more air was leaking. A three-week drop in air pressure was found to have been caused by a pinhead-sized hole in a laboratory hose. In sports, it's the Colorado Avalanche versus the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight in Florida. Avs lost to the San Jose Sharks on Saturday in Denver. Denver Nuggets are off tonight as they get ready to head to Utah to take on the Jazz tomorrow night. Nuggets are coming off their 88-80 win over the Miami Heat yesterday. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxdeduction.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Work for someone you love. You. Are you looking for a satisfying career helping others? Join the trillion-dollar wellness revolution by becoming a body-mind specialist. You can become a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist and open your private practice upon graduation from Day of Miracles School. Your training is unique, spiritual, fun, and comprehensive. Sharpen your own awareness, listening, and communication skills. Take the weekend training to learn the psychology of the subconscious mind. The subconscious directly accesses the body, mind connection, and inner wisdom. Hypnotherapy is effective for smoking cessation, reducing stress and anxiety, releasing past traumas, creating better relationships, and much more. The dynamic training teaches you innovative skills of interactive hypnotherapy. Day of Miracles School is a licensed occupational school, and you're invited to call 303-777-2555. Classes begin February and September. Please mention KNRC to receive a tuition discount and CD about the program. Call 303-777-2555.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Police and emergency equipment still cleaning up an injury accident at 18th and Clarkson. They had to stay on the scene a little longer than usual because some people were trapped inside the wreckage. Might have a little bit of slowing in there still. Freeways look good. Very light volume today because of the holiday. Traffic conditions around Civic Center Park getting back to normal after the parade and the Martin Luther King rally. One other accident to tell you about. It's at Forest and Leedsdale. It's a second accident there this afternoon. The first one involved three cars. The second one involved a fire truck. This report is service of Metabolife Ultra. Did you make a New Year's resolution to lose weight? Keep that promise you made with the help of Metabolife Ultra. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Metabolife Ultra. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Just some partial clearing through the afternoon with a high near 47. A trough of low pressure tonight brings some spotty snow showers after midnight with a low around 20. Look for clouds and scattered snow showers tomorrow, a high of 35, then becoming partly cloudy and 39 for the high on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under cloudy skies, it's 46 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Got a shock for you. Enid has left the building on her way to Italy, and I'm filling in the shower. Glad to have you. And if you want to join in, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. This is actually, I think, an orchestrated move, of course, to get Mike Gallagher some revenge from the Fox News Channel on Saturday night. I told Enid when I saw her today, I said, you know, the first thing I'm going to say is, didn't Mike Gallagher do a great job on, no. Actually, I thought Enid did do a good job on Fox News Sunday, last Sunday night. Of course, she was wrong about everything, but that's standard operating procedure around here. But I thought she did a good job. Apparently, Enid is thinking she may not be asked back to the Fox News Channel. And I'm thinking, there's no way. They can find a lot of folks who agree with Mike Gallagher. But how many are they going to be able to find in this business, right, that agree with Enid? She's sure to get a repeat performance, I am sure, anyway. We got a lot to talk about on this holiday for a lot of you, and we hope you'll join in at 303-382-1150 on the program. Andrew Elfenbein doing the producing, as always, on the show. He didn't even ask for the day off, so how's that? I mean, he's been busy, and we'll tell you what we got coming up here in a moment. Jordan Lyles, meanwhile, handling the controls for us on everything else, and we're glad to get your thoughts if you'd like to join in. Let's give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about. We've got plenty of time, really, for some open line on our show today, so any item in the news you want to react to, you're certainly welcome to do so, or something that has been said on our station or in the news or whatever, then go ahead and give us a call. Around, 3:05, we're going to be joined by Eric Hansen, who is a reporter for KCCI Television in Des Moines, Iowa. As you know, the Iowa caucuses are underway, or will be, tonight, and this will be really the first, I guess, vote tallies in the 2004 presidential election. Why is it the only people who really like this kind of stuff are Andrew Elfenbein, me, and Brian Lamb of C-SPAN? Those are the, I mean, really, right? Those are, and really the political junkies are the ones that really care about the Iowa caucuses. You know, you think about it, and there's so few people that really will be involved in all of this in Iowa. I mean, they're saying maybe 100,000 Democrats will actually go and participate in the caucuses, and you think about how few people that is really in the political process in Iowa, and then you know, sort of transform that to the entire nation, and think about how few people will actually be making the decision that will affect how people in New Hampshire probably vote next week, how people in other aspects or areas of the country, the South, which comes up relatively soon in the Democratic primary, it will make a difference. And you think about how few people are actually going to be involved in this, and it'll be interesting to get the perspective, meanwhile, of a reporter who's on the scene in Des Moines about all of this, because as you, if you follow this at all, you know that it's gotten down to the last, let's put it this way. At one time, this didn't look to be all that interesting, right? Howard Dean was going to go in there, and he was going to steamroll, and he was going to win, and there was not going to be any big deal about it. Well, if you can believe any of these polls, things have gotten a lot closer in the last really week or so. Does it mean that Howard Dean, for example, that his personality is just not winning a lot of friends in Iowa? Could that be? Or I'm still thinking, Andrew, who did you say? Did you even tell me who you think is going to win this? I'm thinking Howard Dean because of organization. Oh, you're just going to say, well, probably Howard Dean. He's saying Edwards, maybe. How about hedging the bet? You know, it's going to be either Edwards, Carey, Dean, or who else, Gephardt. We'll probably win in Iowa and so on. But anyway, we'll talk more about it as we go along. And if you have a reaction or something, you're welcome to do so. Howard Dean today, by the way, told the media to get a life on Martin Luther King Jr. ceremony today in Iowa. I don't know why he did this. I've read the story, and I can't figure out on what purpose he was upset. I like the way they wrote this, though. A stern, if not angry, Howard Dean told the media to get a life. So, I'm just wondering if his personality is simply not winning friends, and the people of Iowa have seen enough of him, and maybe that's why he's gone down in some of the polling data. I don't know. But if you think you do, then I welcome your call here. Later in the show, after 4 o'clock, by the way, we're going to be joined by Colorado House Representative Greg Brophy. He is a co-sponsor of House Resolution 1003. And this calls for the defense of public college students' First Amendment freedoms, including expression based solely on viewpoint. This is very similar, but it's not the same thing as the Colorado Academic Bill of Rights. And the Representative Brophy, meanwhile, is co-sponsoring this because a lot of concern is that conservatives, for example, on some of the college campuses here in Colorado, have to take mandatory diversity training. And they have to, Andrew's like, boy, I'd love to see you take diversity training. I take diversity training every day doing this show. Let me put it that way. This is diversity training. When you're talking to the vast masses out there with all the differing viewpoints, you know. But he's also in the bill. It seeks protection, quote, for the right to speak disapprovingly against certain sexual behaviors. And we'll go more in depth on this when the representative's on our program later today. But it just seems to me that if any place you ought to be able to say most anything, it ought to be right on a college campus. And I'm concerned about the fact that I think the conservative view a lot of times is being left out on the college campuses. But I'm also reluctant to do a whole lot of getting the government involved in this. But I'm interested in this particular view. It's it did get some approval in the Colorado House. So we'll, like I said, we'll talk about that after 4 o'clock on the show today. Meanwhile, if you want to join in, 303-382-1150, the number to dial in. The president made some comments in his weekly radio address that aired over the weekend. I do want to, you know, play you some of the cuts from that. It's rather short, and we'll get into that in a little while here. But if you have any doubts that this president, for example, is going to continue in his war on terror, the way he's going, if you think that he ought to apologize for the war in Iraq, if you think he did the wrong thing, you're not going to hear this from this president. Also, there's a story out there, and I've posted a link on our website, Dick Cheney. I think this is USA Today. Dick Cheney says, yeah, I've already read your, don't worry, I'm going to give you a plug. I've already read your response. Talking to Andrew here. Dick Cheney says, hey, he hasn't given up about finding weapons of mass destruction. It's too early, he said. And then Andrews put some snide response on our website about it. But because I said, look, if Dick Cheney isn't giving up, I'm not giving up yet. How's that? 303-382-1150 if you want to join in. Let's go to Randy on the cell phone to get us started. Randy, you're on AM 1150, KNRC. Randy, go ahead. Let's see, do we have him? Nope. Well, I tell you what, I'll put him on hold and pick him up and see if you can, if he's still there. If so, we'll try to get him on the line here. But at any rate, you know, if Dick Cheney still believes and he's seen all this intelligence information, then possibly, you know, maybe we've given up too soon and said the intelligence is bad. Okay, we think we got him now. Randy, are you there? Andrew's like, it can't be happening this way. Okay, well, I tell you what, Randy, you must be in a sort of a bad area, so, why don't you try to call us back, and we'll try to get your thoughts on the air here. But anyway, if you want to check that story out about Dick Cheney, just go to our website at knrcradio.com, and you can check it out for yourself. But I do think, you know, I mean, I've been one of those that have even been saying to you, yeah, maybe our intelligence information gathering was incomplete. Maybe it was wrong. I think that's something we have to look into. I just don't take that particular point of view and then make what I believe is a stretch and say, well, gee, the president or Dick Cheney misled us about these various things. I think you can make the case that after 9/11, everything changes. And I know that this whole bit about the anti-war fervor that I think was out there for a while, especially while we had, I guess, more of the insurgency going on in Iraq, and this is where Howard Dean was really kind of picking up and getting some of his momentum, I think, in Iowa. I think that it seems to me that's worn down some. That's why we may see Senator Edwards of North Carolina, who at least according to some of the media reports, appears to be a little more likable among some of the Democratic voters in Iowa or whatever, and that might be helping him. But, again, I think Dean was kind of putting his whole thing, maybe even Wesley Clark, to a certain degree on this. Their whole campaign was really based on sort of this anti-war sentiment. And if things don't deteriorate in Iraq, then where are you in that particular point of view? I think it's a fair question, and I think if the I keep hearing a lot of the political pundits on TV saying something that I've actually said to you over the last couple of weeks. We're going to try it again, right? Okay. Is that I just don't see the anger out there among the populace. Okay, we're going to try Randy again, see if we can get him on here. Randy.
Hey, Doug. Do I have you now?
Yeah, we got you. Andrew's like, okay, let's try it. Let's see.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm calling from up in the mountains. It gets pretty shadowy on the cell phone.
No problem. We got you on. What's on your mind here?
Anyway, I was just curious. I noticed a lot of people on the right have really been slamming Dean, really laying into him.
Yes.
And but at the same time, a lot of people on the right seem to really want Dean to be the nominee, and it just seems like a really funny sort of dichotomy to me.
Well, you're right about that, actually. In fact, you know, a lot of, I mean, even myself, I'm like, you know, gosh, you don't want to rip on the guy too much because I think there is a sentiment that Dean is not electable, therefore he would be easier for Bush to beat, right?
Yeah, it seemed really funny to me because as a Democrat, I was really hoping he wouldn't get the nomination. And you guys have done more to help that than anything, I feel like.
Well, that proves, right, that we're not out here just trying to help our candidates win office.
I don't know, Doug. I think it proves you guys are just attack dogs, maybe.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's hard to pass up. You know, I mean, you're in a situation, the media's, I think there was a story out over the weekend, the media's been doing a lot of negative stories about Howard Dean, so it's not just the, you know, conservative sort of side of things. And I think what it is, Randy, it's simply that he's making comments that cannot be ignored. You know, I mean, it's one of those things.
You guys ignore everything that Bush says. I mean, well, he says comments that shouldn't be ignored.
I don't think so. I mean, I realize that's your point of view, but I don't think so. Here's the thing. Wesley Clark's saying a lot of things out there. He said last week that Bush was unpatriotic. He he had Michael Moore introduce him yesterday on stage, where Michael Moore calls Bush a deserter, and Wesley Clark doesn't say anything really to the contrary about this, even though he knows the real story.
What is the real story?
Well,
I thought Bush was AWOL from his post in the Guards.
No, Andrew's laughing because we laugh about how many emails I get on this. Look, I know Enid says this, and I know
I'm not talking about what Enid says.
No, I know, but I mean,
what I've read.
Well, I know that this came out in the 2000 election, and I've asked anyone that's, because it is a little complicated, if they want the story on it, I'd be happy to email it to them. And my reference point, which I think was the best one I read on this, was the George Magazine article several years ago about this. Basically, Bush did go to Alabama and the National Guard or whatever. His commander says he doesn't remember him being there, but there are quotes from other people who were there who said he was there. And then he did fulfill his obligations in the National Guard and so on, and was discharged for it. He was not. In fact, that's one of the points Wesley Clark's like, well, I don't remember that he was actually charged for being a deserter. Yeah, that's because he did actually fulfill his military obligation.
I thought it was more because of his daddy, it seemed to me.
Well,
it depends on what source you're reading it from.
Well, I don't think, the George Magazine is not a right-wing source. In fact, the New York Times did a big investigative piece during the campaign about this and concluded there was really nothing to it. I mean, it's been a long since really discounted kind of thing, but Michael Moore's been out here kind of giving it new life, I think.
Well, I wasn't getting it from Michael Moore or Enid. I've read the quotes of his commanding officer who said that he basically didn't show up.
Well, he didn't remember him is the accurate quote on that. And there were people who flew with him who said he was there And then, of course, Bush has maintained
kind of
he was there.
To me.
Well,
it seems like the type of thing. If Clinton had said something like that, you guys have gone crazy.
Hey, Clinton didn't even show up, Randy.
Well, he wasn't in the military.
Yeah, but he was drafted three times. And you're right. Look, I'm not going to tell you there's not a double standard if you've got a bias about it. But I think we have to kind of get down to being as accurate as we can about some of the facts. I mean, to call Bush a deserter or a wall is not accurate. I mean, honestly, it's not. And I think we really should use terms so that we have credibility about this
in
the campaign, you know. And that's why
I totally agree. The original point, though, I think there, you talk, Dean has gotten more press, bad press, than Bush has ever gotten, even when he was just a candidate. And to me, it just seems indicative of how controlling the right wing is of the airwaves at this point.
Well,
really funny because I think you're going to give us Clark or Kerry or somebody.
Well, I think you may be right in that regard, but I think, Randy, you're talking about talk radio, and of course, you got to separate.
Fox News and the Washington Post and.
Well, the Washington Post is certainly not right wing. I mean, it's known to to be sort of infested by those on the left or whatever. Totally infested. Hey, here's the thing. Here's the thing about it, Randy, is that Howard Dean is getting a lot of attention, a lot of negative sort of comments or whatever, for two reasons. One, he's the front runner, and secondly, because he's made a lot of comments that give you a lot of ammunition to go after them. I think you're right. I think there is part of it that start talking about him a lot of around or whatever, and then people start trying to decide if he is electable or not, and maybe a lot of people have decided he's not.
Yeah, I think this is the funny thing. It is one thing we would totally agree on. Dean wouldn't be their best choice, and I think that y'all have really helped to keep him from maybe getting the nomination. He's not a lock on it anymore.
I will tell you the one that bothers me the most, honestly, is Senator Edwards of North Carolina.
Oh, he's a good guy.
Yeah, so I think
he'd be real electable. He's good looking on the screen and all those superficial things.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think he bothers me more than, so I've got to do some research on him.
Clark would kick your boy Bush out of there, too.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
He would win.
I don't think so, but we'll see.
If I meet you, we'll make a $5 bet and shake on it, okay?
Only $5?
$5 on Clark.
By the way.
I'm a working man here.
Oh, okay. Well, Van from Boulder, by the way, who's on the line here, has been sending me the odds in Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Bush's odds have gone down slightly, and I know it's because of the immigration bill. But I tell you what, hopefully we'll meet each other one day.
Okay, Doug.
Thanks, Randy. Okay, you too. If you want to join in, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. If you want to join in, dial in. You are listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Finally, Denver has a talk station it can be proud of. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Don't miss the Colorado Symphony Orchestra's performance of Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2, Wagner's Overture to the Flying Dutchman, Barber's Adagio for Strings, and more on January 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
Talk to Greg Dobbs.
Okay, here's real justice. Unmitigated, genuine, obvious, don't argue with me justice. This guy in Tucson yesterday goes up to a Salvation Army setup, and the woman who is volunteering is in a wheelchair herself. She has cerebral palsy. She's 60 years old. This guy comes up, grabs the pot. She struggles with him. He runs with the pot, crosses the street, gets hit by a car.
There is justice out there. Boy,
yes.
Greg Dobbs, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Dominic Barasha.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
And wrapping up the last hour of Enid Goldstein, Enid is on her way to Europe, where I know she likes the people there quite a bit. Yeah, I can't have a few digs here. There, come on. And I'm happy filling in for Enid, giving her a chance to get to the airport, go through all those security measures that my president has implemented after 9/11, right, to protect those who are flying and so on. If you want to join in, 303-382-1150. Andrew's like, you're pushing it. You're pushing it. No, I can't help it. She's going to be out of the country for a while. So at any rate, happy to be here and filling in this hour. And again, if you want to reach me by email, doug@knrcradio.com. And we're glad you are here. And, you know, just to follow up before we go back to the calls with the last caller, I understand there is this theory, and I admit it came to my mind as well. You know, we beat up on old Howard Dean and we really want him to run. This isn't a good thing. But honestly, I think what really happened, it just kind of occurred to me during the commercial break, it's the other candidates were the ones really ripping on Howard Dean more than the right-wing conservative sort of talk show media that's out there. I mean, when other candidates are talking about each other, it's going to get some airplay. And most of them, right, Kerry and even Edwards, help me out, who else? Wesley Clark, although he's in New Hampshire, not, yeah, Kucinich, Sharpton, all these people, right. Andrew's trying to help me here. The whole list, they're all talking about Howard Dean. Why? Because he's the guy that was in the lead. And the guy in the lead is always going to take the biggest hits. And then there's also this perception out there that Howard Dean has this sort of personality that generates kind of, you know, sort of strong opinions. He's been a strong anti-war candidate, and that has kind of brought, I think, a lot of people to have strong opinions about him as well. And his tax policy was getting ripped by some of the other candidates in the Democratic campaign and so on. So I think that's probably it. More than the right wing is somehow convincing the Democratic voters in Iowa to maybe not vote for Dean. But I'll tell you, I still think Dean's going to win. Let's go to Van in Boulder. Van, you're on AM 1150, KNRC.
Okay, Doug, let's go through some basic facts here. What color is the sky?
It is blue, Van.
It is blue.
What is it for Democrats?
It's blue. It always is blue.
I see you want to talk about this.
I'm trying to see if there's any empirical evidence whatsoever that will convince you of anything.
Well, I know. Because, I can see you on the screen that you want to talk about this.
Blue.
I can see you on the screen you want to talk about the Bush AOL story, or AWOL story. And look,
he didn't show for 18 months. That's AWOL.
I'll be happy to go through this, although I really don't want to spend a lot of time on it.
When did he show up in Alabama? When did he report for duty in Alabama?
I tell you what.
Give me the date.
I'll do it. Just hang on. Do you want to hear it?
I want to know the date that he reported to the guy that said he never reported.
I will.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to go through this.
He's been quoted.
I'm going to
the Boston Globe actually documented all
look,
this.
Look, Van, I've read all this, and I've got it right here too. And this, here's the basic. See, it is rather long.
What's the
and LinkedIn.
He reported for duty in Alabama, Doug?
Van, he here's the thing. Well, I'm going to get to that if you really want me to go through
What's
it. All right.
Date,
well,
Doug?
Hold on, Van. Van, take it easy. Take a breath. We got plenty of time today. I'm on 4 hours instead of three. I'll go through this quickly because I have actually, I've read, like I said, the New York Times detailed account where they concluded there was nothing to this. There have been a number of others. It's been totally discounted from the 2000 election. But hang on, and I'll go through this quickly. This, the article that I found over the last 3 or 4 years, to me, was more, I think, complete than maybe some of the others, is the story that was in George Magazine, and you remember that was JFK Jr.'s magazine. The title of the story was The Real Military Record of George W. Bush, Not Heroic, but Not AWOL Either. And then, gosh, it's so long, I just can't go through every detail on this, but as I had mentioned to the last caller, I am more than happy to email this to anyone that wants it. I will tell you, and Van, this goes for you as well. Of all the people, I've emailed, probably 50 or 100 of these. I've yet to have one come back after reading this to contradict it. But at any rate, it says for more than a year, and this is when it was written, which I don't have the date right in front of me, a controversy about George W. Bush's Air National Guard record has bubbled through the press. Interest in the topic has spiked in recent days as at least two websites have launched stories essentially calling Bush AWOL in 1972 and 73. For example, in Finally the Truth About Bush's Military Record on TomPaine.com, Marty Height writes, Bush's long absence from the records comes to an end 1 week after he failed to comply with an order to attend annual active duty training starting at the end of May 1973. Now, I'm going to have to skip through this because, like I said, this is like 4 or 5 long pages here. But it goes on through that they had done an analysis on the National Guard documents, extensive interviews with military officials, and previously unpublished evidence of Bush's whereabouts in the summer and fall of 1972, and it's the first full chronology of Bush's military record. The basic conclusions were that Bush may have received favorable treatment to get into the Guard, served irregularly after the spring of 1972, and got an expedited discharge, but he did not accumulate the days of service required for him for his ultimate, did accumulate the days of service required for an honorable discharge. Then it goes through the convention during the election, I guess, of where George Bush had made some comments about the military or whatever. Okay, let me see if I can find the more important points. The younger Bush fulfilled 2 years of active duty and completed pilot training in June 1970. During that time and in the 2 years that followed, Bush flew an F-102, an interceptor jet equipped with heat-seeking missiles that could shoot down enemy planes. His commanding officers and peers regarded Bush as a competent pilot and enthusiastic Guard member. In March of 1970, the Texas Air National Guard issued a press release trumpeting his performance. Quote, Lieutenant Bush recently became the first Houston pilot to be trained by the 147th Fighter Group and to solo on the F-102. Lieutenant Bush said his father was just as excited and enthusiastic about his solo flight as he was. In Bush's evaluation for the period May 1, 1971 through April 30, 1972, then-Colonel Bobby Hodges, his commanding officer, stated, I have personally observed his participation, and without exception, his performance has been noteworthy. In the spring of 1972, however, National Guard records show a sudden drop-off in Bush's military activity. This is, by the way, what has kind of been had led to this. Though trained as a pilot at considerable government expense, Bush stopped flying in April 1972 and never flew for the Guard again. Around that time, Bush decided to go to work for Red Blunt, Republican running for U.S. Senate in Alabama. Documents from Ellington Air Force Base in Houston state that Bush cleared this base on 15 May. This is answer your question, what date? Shortly afterward, he applied for assignment to the 9921st Air Reserve Squadron in Montgomery, a unit that required minimal duty and offered no pay. Although that unit's commander was willing to welcome him on May 31st, higher-ups at the Air Reserve Personnel Center in Denver rejected Bush's request to serve at the 9921st because it did not offer duty equivalent to his service in Texas. An obligated reservist, in this case Bush, can be assigned to a specific ready reserve position only. Noting the disapproval memo, a copy which was sent to Bush, therefore he is ineligible for assignment to an Air Reserve squadron. Despite the military's decision, Bush moved to Alabama. Records obtained by GeorgeMag.com show that the Blunt Senate campaign paid him $900 a month. I'm skipping around here. Neither Bush's annual evaluation nor the Air Guard's overall chronology listing of his service contain any evidence that he performed Guard duties during that summer. And it goes on. Let me just, because a lot of this centers around his service in Alabama. And like I said, I don't want to really bore all of you with the full article because it is very lengthy and detailed here. But as far as Alabama is concerned, let's see here. The question of whether Bush ever actually served in Alabama has become an issue in the 2000 campaign. The Air Force Times recently reported the GOP is trying to locate people who served with Bush in late 1972 to see if they can confirm that Bush briefly served with the Alabama Air National Guard. His records contain no evidence he reported to Danley, that's Danley Field in Montgomery, in October, and in telephone interviews with GeorgeMag.com, neither Turpency, this is the commander that I think even Van was talking about, had been quoted, Bush's commanding officer, nor Ken Lott, then chief personnel officer of the 187th, remembered Bush serving with their unit. I don't think he showed up, Turpency said. Bush maintains, however, he did serve in Alabama. Governor Bush specifically remembers pulling duty in Montgomery and respectfully disagrees with the colonel. There's no question it wasn't memorable because he wasn't flying. In July, the Decatur Daily report, shows you how detailed all this is. The Decatur Daily reported that two former Blunt campaign workers recalled Bush serving in the Alabama Air National Guard in fall of 1972. I remember he actually came back to Alabama for about a week to 10 days, several weeks after the campaign was over, to complete his Guard duty in the state. According to Emily Martin, a former Alabama resident, who said she dated Bush during that time he spent in the state. After the 1972 election, which Blunt lost, Bush moved back to Houston and began working at Pull, a community service center for disadvantaged youth. Now, anyway, just I'm skipping along here, but it says two documents obtained by GeorgeMag.com indicate that Bush did make up the time he missed during the summer and autumn of 1972. One is an April 23, 1973 order for Bush to report to annual active duty training the following month. The other is an Air National Guard statement of days served by Bush that is torn and undated, but contains entries that correspond to the first. Taken together, they appear to establish that Bush reported for duty on nine occasions between November 29, 1972, when he could have been in Alabama, and May 24, 1973. Bush was not flying, but over his fan, he did earn 9 points of National Guard service from days of active duty and 36 from inactive duty. When added to the 15 so-called gratuitous points that every member of the Guard got that year, Bush accumulated 56 points, more than 50 he needed by the end of May 1973 to maintain his standing as a Guardsman. Anyway, Van, you have to hang on because I've got news coming up, and I'll let you comment on this. And I've got a number of emails, too, from that goes along with this from military people as well. And like I said, those of you that really are into this, I'll be more than happy to send it to you. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. You are listening to AM 1150 KNRC. But right now, we've got to check some news headlines. Let's bring in Tim McLaughlin and see what's going on out there, Tim.
Hey, Doug.
How are you doing today?
Great.
You can tell we got the first team here on a holiday, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think management is taking note of this?
I'm not sure. You know, the timing of this, though, is going to throw me off here. I'm going to keep thinking I'm an hour ahead of where I am now.
You're going to think you're closer to going home than you really are. I know it.
Exactly.
Well, we're filling in for Enid right now so she can get to the airport and head to, I guess, Italy is where she's going,
she said,
right?
Yeah, she said Venice, so.
So,
must be nice.
It obviously must be.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, bring us up today.
All right. It's cloudy, 46 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Subway. In what organizers call the largest celebration of Martin Luther King Day in America, an estimated 40,000 participants turned out for this year's parade in downtown Denver. At the rally at Civic Center Park, Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper was heckled by some people protesting the shooting of Paul Childs by a Denver police officer this past summer. Littleton police continue their investigation of this weekend's murder of a woman at a gift shop near Santa Fe Drive and Littleton Boulevard. Police are questioning someone they call a person of interest who was found at a nearby motel where investigators also found the woman's car, which had been stolen. The 19-year-old driver of a car involved in a fatal accident on Saturday morning will be charged with vehicular homicide. A 17-year-old passenger in the car was killed when the driver lost control of the car, which was traveling at about 70 miles per hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche are on a road trip, and tonight they head into Florida to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Avs are coming off their loss to the San Jose Sharks on Saturday in Denver. Start the year by eating and feeling good at Subway. Try Subway's new Atkins-friendly carb-controlled wraps. Savor the flavor of the turkey bacon melt or chicken bacon ranch Atkins-friendly wraps now at Subway. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:39.
Frankly, it's difficult to imagine that a breed of men as fierce and warlike as the Scots ever learned to embrace the niceties of a civilized life, much less advance them. I mean, there they were, traipsing around the wee glen in nothing but their bagpipes. And next thing you know, they've invented distilled liquor. Now it's Sean Connery, the Highland Games. Why, they're even making stained glass right here in Colorado. Beautiful stained glass. Extraordinary, really. That everyone can appreciate, even men like myself. Real men who don't feel the need to toss around telephone poles in a pathetic attempt to compensate for the notion that their forefathers wore skirts.
English swine. Did you not see Braveheart? Hi, this is Martin Faith, the owner of Scottish Stained Glass. If you want to make a unique statement in your home, think leaded glass. It's private, beautiful to look at, and surprisingly affordable, with prices starting at just $145, including insulation. For a free in-home consultation, call us at 303-766-3811. 303-766-3811.
KNRC News Time is 2:40. Time to check with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Only problem we can find around town right now is a minor accident at Arapahoe Road and Chester Street in Centennial. State Patrol should be cleaning that one up momentarily. Freeway is much lighter than usual because of the Martin Luther King holiday, that is. And remember that tonight T-Rex crews are going to take care of some more of the Hamden Avenue Bridge. They will reroute southbound traffic off of I-25 at Santa Fe and take it back on at the Hamden Avenue interchange. And northbound I-25 will get off the freeway there at Hamden and use some of the exit and entrance ramps there to bypass all the road construction. When you are looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results. That's REMAX. There's a REMAX real estate office near you, so call them today. REMAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our cloud cover is going to break slightly for us as we head through the afternoon, stretching up for a seasonal high close to 47 today. Spotty snow showers from a trough of low pressure will work in after midnight tonight with a low around 20, and we'll keep clouds and some scattered snow showers in the forecast tomorrow as well with a high of 35, a little more sunshine, 39 for the high on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under cloudy skies, it's 46 degrees. KNRC news time is 2:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over a dollar a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the Buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC Market Watch.
Underneath all the glitz, glitter, and glare of the hot new cars and trucks at the Detroit Auto Show are gizmos. And there's very little agreement among the sexes as to what makes a great gizmo. For example, a survey by the Women's Economic Club shows that the number one thing women would like to see in a new vehicle is a place to put a purse. Now, not too many guys are looking for that, we think. Guys would be more attracted to electrically folding outside mirrors. Push a button and they retract, allowing your big new sport utility to get closer to the fast food pickup window. Women would like a cell phone port, a trash bin, and more flexible cup holders. Now, the most outrageous gizmo at the auto show was the rear cup holders in the $358,000 Maybach. They hold two champagne flutes and a bottle for celebrating en route. Maybach will also kick in the silver flutes for $550 each. I'm Ron Amidon from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
And welcome back in. 244. No, Enid has taken this hour off. I'm Doug Kellett filling in. And we welcome your call if you'd like to join in. You heard the number, 303-382-1150. 1150, my email address, doug@knrcradio.com. Andrew, why am I shocked? Van is not convinced based on the information I just provided. Van, let's go back to you here. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, Doug, I just asked a simple question. What date did he report for duty in Alabama?
It was May 15th, 1973.
Well, no, you didn't. That was when he was supposed to, but his commanding officer said he never did.
Well, again, that's in dispute, but there are people who flew with him or were in the guard or whatever with him,
well,
who are also on record saying
he didn't
that.
Take any,
well,
any
that's
physicals.
Right. I understand that, but
probably because he was snorting coke.
Well,
whatever.
Dan, you can throw all this stuff out. Look, the
yeah,
point
I
is,
can.
The
it's
point,
fun.
Is, though, yeah, but the point is that there are people who were in the guard who say he was there.
What's
and,
that?
And I mean, there are people in the guard who say he was there who were with him during that time. This I just went through this whole thing for you, and there are others. I mean, there are plenty of other stories out here who make similar claims. The New York Times also did an investigative piece about this as well back during the 2000 election and so on. The point
actually,
is...
Actually, the Boston Globe did the definitive piece,
well,
and the New York Times kind of glommed
here,
onto
the,
it.
The point is that Bush was not, I think as the headline of this story reads, Bush was not heroic, but he also was not AWOL.
Well, when you don't show up for duty, that's AWOL. Unless you got a document that backs up that it's okay for you not to show up.
Well, it's in dispute that he didn't show up. That's the whole point. It's not. He says he was there. Other people said he was there. The military commander says he doesn't remember him. But I don't know that that's all that shocking anyway. And the fact that he got an honorable discharge
we'll
right there shows.
We're not going to get around to it.
No, but the fact
I just
that he
asked
got an
date, you couldn't give it to me.
I gave it
cool.
to. No, I gave it to you. You weren't listening. May 15th, 1973, was the date that he was scheduled to be there. Says that Bush cleared his base.
That's what he was scheduled to be there, but he never showed up.
Says here that, well, that's what you say. That's what
no,
you say.
No, you see, the military's funny, Doug, because they document everything.
Well, they don't have, that's the whole thing, is they actually do not have the records. If you read some of these accounts of this, they went through every record that was available to them, and they didn't have records. The in fact, and then it's later pointed out, as I read to you, that he made up any missed time that he may have occurred in the summer and autumn of 1972. I've got
right, and he made it up, and he didn't get court-martialed because he made it up.
No, not particularly for that case. Two documents obtained by GeorgeMag.com indicate Bush did make up time he missed during the summer and autumn of 1972. One is an April 23rd, 1973 order for Bush to report to annual active duty training the following month. He earned enough points. See, the thing is, man, the people who are not familiar with the Guard don't understand how this works. And you get a point system.
I was asking a buddy of mine that's ready to reserve. He just got out of Afghanistan. And he, you know, we went over this, and, you know, basically he thinks that if it, you know, George Bush would have been just Joe Blow on the street, he would have gotten court-martialed.
Well, I don't think that's true. That's the point I'm making. He was not
AWOL.
Well,
he knows about
well,
it.
Well, I know.
He was in the Marines for 5 years.
He's
on ready reserve right now.
I don't know
back.
If he knows all the details about it. He knows what you told him about it. But I've got plenty of emails from people in the Guard who also point out how the point system works. The guy got an honorable discharge. Wasn't AWOL. It's not accurate to go out there and say that he was.
All right, whatever you say.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, take care. Okay, take care. Anyway, if you want to join in, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. I mean, if you're predisposed to think that he was, there's nothing I can, I guess I can offer the other way. But I'll tell you, that of the people who I think have had an open mind about this, and I've sent this article to, as I mentioned, and it's been a number of them, on the station here, I have yet to get one back that are criticizing really the detailed account and the really the investigative reporting that was done on this piece, and it takes all these other sort of articles into account. I think that the problem comes about with this is those who are sort of predisposed to dislike George W. Bush, who want to think the worst about him from, I guess, from his childhood on, think he's this guy of privilege or whatever, are going to feel that way, and I don't think there's anything I can do to change your mind of that. I would only suggest to you, however, that most of the people running for office for the presidency this time are going to be fairly wealthy people. A lot of them come from wealthy backgrounds. It is not anything unusual, for example, that George Bush would be from a family of money. I just think that it's a shame that we really have gotten to the point where so many people do think the worst about their president. And I know this has been discussed a lot on this station and really elsewhere about whether Bush is, you know, getting sort of the treatment that's unusual for a guy in office. I can't remember really the hatred that has been generated or some of the hateful things that have been said about this guy more than maybe going back to Richard Nixon. I mean, I remember during the Vietnam War, for example, there were a lot of hateful things, I think, that were out there then about that president. And I can't remember. I mean, there's always politics, and there are always going to be a lot of things thrown around one way or the other about campaigns and so on and differences of opinion. And just like with Van, okay, it's a case in dispute. You can take whatever position you like about it. But I can't remember a time that there's been really the sort of the visceral reaction about any president really since Richard Nixon. And you may have a different view. I'd like to hear from you. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150, my email address, doug@knrcradio.com, and you are listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
A station built by Coloradans for Denver and Colorado. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Do you know the story? It's about a war, the very worst kind. It ripped apart our country, set American against American, North against South, free against slave. Now John Brown's Body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, brings to life the story of the Civil War. You meet Lincoln and Davis. You hear from Southern belles and Northern ladies. You sit across from slave traders as well as freedom fighters. You see the world through the eyes of a Yankee soldier and his Confederate counterpart. John Brown's Body transports you to the most troubled chapter in our country's history and gives voice to the human experience behind the facts and dates. John Brown's Body plays January 29th through February 28th at the Denver Center Theater Company. Do you know the story? The whole story?
Visit denvercenter.org or call 303-893-4100 today for your tickets.
When
I get one of my headaches. Every minute of that pounding, throbbing pain is a minute too long. So when I take something, I want to make sure I choose the one that will get rid of that tough pain faster.
The moment of choice. Tylenol or Advil for faster headache relief. Truth is, Advil Liquid Gels rush relief to your headache faster than Tylenol. And Advil Relief is stronger, better relief too.
Headache's gone already. Glad I chose Advil.
For faster headache relief, advance to Advil Relief.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Ronald McDonald House offers comfort, hope, and love by providing a home away from home to out-of-town families receiving medical treatment for their children. They could use your help with donations of non-perishable food items and assistance with meal preparation. Both groups and individuals are needed for volunteer programs. If you can help, please call the Ronald McDonald House at 303-832-2667 or go online to ronaldhouse.org.
Monday is Cheap Chicken Day at Albertsons. 8 mouth-watering pieces of fresh fried chicken, only $3.99. Cheap Chicken Day, Monday at Albertsons, helping make your life easier.
AM 1150, KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Well, we've got a shocker for you. Enid is taking this hour off. Glad to have you. I'm Doug Kellett, 303-382-1150. Andrew's like, they would have never figured it out, Doug, if you'd have... All I had to do is bash Bush for a few minutes, and then everyone would, think everything's going standard operating procedure here. Meanwhile, if you want to join in a few more minutes, and then next hour, let me also... remind you, we're going to be talking in the next hour with Eric Hansen, reporter for a CBS TV station in Des Moines, Iowa, get his thoughts about the Iowa caucus. And then later after 4 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by a member of the House of Representatives, Representative Greg Brophy. And we're going to talk about House Joint Resolution 1003. And this deals with the college campuses and what they say is providing more freedom, especially for those with a conservative viewpoint. Let's go to Dana on a cell phone. Dana, thanks for holding. You're on AM 1150, KNRC.
Doug, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, just before break, you said you can't remember anybody being this hateful of a president since, oh, maybe Nixon, and apparently you've forgotten about a guy named Bill Clinton. The whole current genre of radio talk shows was built on teaching people to hate Bill Clinton for 8 years.
Well, I don't know if they, yeah, but I think, Dana, this is a little deeper. You remember the thing with Nixon, for example, there was a, they hated the man kind of deal.
That's what talk radio did to Bill Clinton. They taught a huge portion of this country to hate Bill Clinton.
It didn't work.
No matter what he did, it was wrong, and they hated him for it.
Well, it didn't work, though, because Clinton won two elections and, and also still, I guess, does fairly well in popularity polls and everything. So, I mean, I don't know. We can say that this happened, and I don't disagree with you, obviously, that a lot in talk radio that Clinton took a lot of criticism, but I do think there's a magnitude of it seems to me to be a little bit higher these days.
Well, there's a magnitude of it because of stuff like you were talking about with the previous caller. If Bush had actually shown up for the flight physical he was ordered to show up for, there'd be a piece of paper that said he showed up, not somebody says... He kind of remembered when, after 3 years of people talking about that he never showed up, gee, all of a sudden, before the election, no, we think there's a piece of paper.
Well,
that
Dana, no, it's not like that at all. This was all aired out during the 2000 election. This story really was put to rest almost 4 years ago. It's not just coming up now. The only reason I'm bringing it up is because I get people emailing me about it, and I know Enid throws out the AWOL word like it's, it's a matter of fact. And I'm just pointing out it's not a matter of fact, and that's, I'm just reading you some material that's actually 3 years old because no one really talks about this anymore because it's been disputed so much.
But I disagree that it's been disputed, and I think there's enough paperwork, and I have enough copies of paperwork that indicate that he's AWOL, and 30 days AWOL is desertion.
Well, you can,
and whether
Dana,
he made
Dana,
it up
send,
later,
Dana, send it to me.
If,
send,
it
send,
later
hey,
well.
Dana, hang on a minute. You can send it to me if you like. I'm just telling you that The New York Times did an investigative issue on this. I mentioned the George Magazine article because it's not a conservative group. It was totally discounted during the election of 2000. The point is, Bush did not have this great heroic military service, but the Guard is much different than it was than it is. Say, like Van was talking about a guy in the Marines or whatever, and he did what he had to do. He got an honorable discharge. If he had not gotten an honorable discharge, you know, you might have something.
Well, there needs to be a piece of paper that people can see that shows that he had an honorable discharge.
I don't think
if he really got it, he should make it available.
I don't think that people really care about it, Dana. There's only a small group of people, the sort of the Michael Moore wing of the Democratic Party, that even talk about this at all. That's what I'm trying to say. People do not have a problem with George Bush as commander in chief. He gets the highest marks of anything he does as being the head of the armed forces.
Well, when you poll a willing audience, you get the numbers you want, so I disagree.
Well, I mean, you can take whatever poll organization that you'd like and take a look at them. Even when he gets low numbers on job approval ratings, he gets high numbers on the war in Iraq, war on terror. I mean, the people think George Bush, he is a leader, he's strong on national defense, one of the reasons they like him. Now,
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead. I was trying to tell you to go ahead.
Let me make a point on numbers. When we talk about Bush's approval rating being, let's pick 65, and it's really wonderful. When Clinton was at 65, it was at the height of him being impeached for Monica Lewinsky, and that was horrible that he was only at 65. So somehow these numbers just get twisted around by whoever's pushing their own agenda.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you and use numbers, but the only point I would say is if you take them all, and kind of, you don't put any of them like they're the Bible or anything, and you kind of look at all of them, you can get a pretty good accurate, I think, understanding of, you know, where the people are on this. This is why I think a lot of people think Bush is going to win re-election, is because he has such high numbers in some very important areas. That may not bear out when it comes down to the campaign. I don't know. I think he'll win, but, we'll just have to see.
Well, I think his record needs to be discussed, and if there's an honorable discharge, it's there. And this hatred that's fomented by talk radio the way it is today is really pretty amazing.
Well, listen, I'm glad you listened to it anyway, Dana.
I do. I want to hear the other side.
Hey.
I'm real firm in where I stand.
Well, listen, I'm glad you called. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. And here's where it is. I mean, this is the thing. If he didn't have an honorable discharge, you got something. And you can talk about they manipulated all this all you want, but if you read this article, you're going to find out how he got the honorable discharge. That's my point in this. And October 1st, 1973, First Lieutenant George W. Bush received an early honorable discharge so he could attend Harvard Business School. He was credited with 5 years, 4 months, and 5 days of service. So, anyway, that's kind of where we are on that. If you'd like to join in, we welcome your call. I want to talk about the Iowa caucuses coming up. And maybe give me your idea on who you think is actually going to come up the winner tonight. If you're one of those political junkies, we'd like to hear from you. We'll also be joined by Eric Hansen, reporter for KCCI Television in Des Moines in the next half hour. So stay tuned. You're on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 40 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Bank One. An estimated 40,000 people turned out for the annual parade in downtown Denver today to celebrate Martin Luther King Day. Participants marched from City Park to Civic Center Park, where a rally was held. The leader of the Denver Church of Religious Science Choir got the crowd revved up.
All right, come on, everybody, put those hands in the air. Yes, a long time ago. And because he said yes, we can stand here today. Hallelujah. Come on, and say yes.
At the rally, Sharoya Taylor, a student at Denver University High School, put MLK Day into perspective.
So if you ask me what we should do and thank King for, we should thank King for being a good representative of what we can be and will be. So let's start there. Start with ourselves.
Not everyone at Denver's Martin Luther King Day rally, though, felt like celebrating. As Mayor John Hickenlooper spoke at Civic Center Park, in the distance, hecklers were heard. Their leader was Sharif Alim from a group calling itself the New Urban Perspective.
I was saying fire killer cops.
Their lives following King's
you have seven or eight different officers.